The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Be still, Nash and Young Crosby, Stills, 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 Nash and Young Crosby.
Fight. with Wing. And this is Miller Dig. God! I know how to spoil you horny teenagers. 0344-499-1000. This is the Late Night Alternative Weeknights on Talk Radio with me. Catherine's not here. Unlucky for her, she's missing out on the laugh riot. Let's go to Susan. Good evening, Susan.
Oh, hello.
Hello, right? Susan. Yeah, I'm good.
I tell you why I phoned. I've got a couple of things. You know, you were talking about underwear, dirty underwear.
Dirty
being washed.
Underwear, yes.
Yeah, well, you know the washing up sponge? You know the little sponges people use to wash up with when they do the washing up, if you're washing up by hand?
Stop saying washing up. The washing up sponge, yes.
The green, yeah. Well, you know, it's got a green bit on it and then sponge is underneath.
So it's like a tough green bit that's not quite Brillo, but it's scrubby, and then there's a soft sponge bit on the
they're
outside.
Yeah, very unhygienic, because the food from the plates that you wash, if you, I mean, there's a thing on Facebook, you can see it all on there. Mm. Well, now, I use these, they're like round, they're like plasticky things.
Sorry?
But the water goes straight through, so it doesn't,
a colander?
Doesn't hold on to food.
A colander?
No, you know, like the little round...
Tom Hollander, as I...
like a round little thing, but they're plastic. Well, they're a plasticky type of thing. But when you're washing up, the water just comes straight through it. It doesn't hold on to all the old food and all that sort of thing. It's really... They're really unhygienic, those other sponges.
Well, you're supposed to get rid of the sponges, like, once every other day. I've had my sponge since I moved into the house, which was a year ago.
Oh, no, it must be.
But I'm not rubbing it... I'm not rubbing it on my... You talk about pants. I'm not rubbing it on my genitals or sucking on it, so...
No. And also, tea towels and, the cloth. So it's no good having your plates... washed and clean, and then...
Well, I have a dishwasher, because I'm very posh.
Yeah, well, I used to have one years ago, but now we do it by... We're all doing it by hand.
Why are you doing it by hand? Why are you going... You're going backwards in the evolutionary chain.
Well, it's just that we've got a smaller place now, but I said when I get a lot older, we might have one, because none of us know what we're going to be like then. But I tell you what else... You know,
you're off
on Friday, aren't you?
I'm off on Friday, yeah.
Well, you know Clacton Seafront, they've got the air show on for Thursday and Friday, where they have the planes coming over.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, I'm working, I'll be down the seafront on Thursday and Friday, because
looking for business?
Working, not my own business, no,
no,
I'm
work
a cleaner.
For someone. Oh, okay.
I'm a
Sorry,
cleaner,
I thought you
so
were,
I'll be on there, I'll be doing extra hours that day.
Okay, so will you get to see... The aeroplanes.
I hear them as well, because they're coming right over the seafront.
You know, there are some people, I call them sad cases, but that's maybe a little harsh. There are some people who can identify types of aircraft just by listening to the noise of them flying.
They probably can. As I say, I don't go down there very much during that time. It is only because it's a job I'm doing.
Yes.
But you do get all different, you do get lots and lots of people on that day, and there's specialists, there's all different, they come every year, a lot of people.
I think people that are into planes, I think they're sexual deviants. The plane, of course, Freud would argue, is the phallus.
I don't know.
It's the phallus, the passengers are the seed, and the airports are the mother's womb.
I don't know, but I know Friday they've got the old-fashioned planes. They've got the old-fashioned ones.
Spitfires.
You know the old planes?
Did your body just make a funny noise then?
No.
I heard a gurgle. Someone gurgled.
Unless it was I might have done, not knowingly, because I do get acid sometimes.
Acid reflux, isn't it something?
It's horrible.
It's
horrible. It's like a burning, but I can only take two of these tablets a day, but then I have to take Gaviscon.
Oh. Well, Susan, I feel we've had a real glimpse into your life tonight, and I really appreciate that. Thank you very much indeed. That was the first call, straight off the rank tonight, and it really does, I think, set the tone for what could be a slightly dull show. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Martin. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening, and I'll get straight to the point, right? You've been banging on for the last 9 days, I think, about a horror film, which I've never seen before.
Yes,
but last night, I watched it on the internet.
Which film?
A film called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yes, man.
Oh, boy.
Grandpa's hungry.
Well, last night I watched it on the internet. I don't comment legal. So, anyway, right, nope. I watched it last night, and bloody hell, that film did put the willies up me. It was so atmospheric, like, that film. And the scene where that guy got in the caravan, like, and he cut his bleeding finger. Oh. He pulled silver foil out. And I thought, what's going on here, man? What the hell's going on there? But
yes,
that film was fantastic.
Isn't it
and
great,
do you know
maybe?
What? Do you know why, Ian Wright? There's two characters in there that reminds me of two radio presenters at Talk Radio.
Oh,
you know who they are?
Yeah, let's go on.
Okay.
Yes.
You know the head honcho of the family?
Yes.
He's a nasty piece of work. Do you know who he reminded me of?
Go on.
Matthew Wright.
Oh, yes.
And do you know Leatherface? Do you remind me of? Mike Graham.
Well, and do you know the lad in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Do you know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Alan Caddick.
Oh, Alan Caddick from Birmingham. He don't leave my papers. Alan, where have my papers last week and you was the poor papers are all bloody bins, right? Do you know what? Don't ever, your children, you says you're going to watch the Texas Chainsaw. Please don't, man. Do you know what? I think there's three good films that your children would love. You know what you said about shark films last night? You know the Anaconda films? Have you heard them, your children, yet, like? Anaconda, part one, part two, and part three. They love that, man.
Right.
Now, Ian, can I just leave one thing now, right?
Oh, you left your roommate.
Alan, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Well, what about your paper deliveries last week?
What day?
Yeah, you know when you miss my paper, when your paper and you miss my bleeding doll.
What paper do you have normally?
Number 76. You know, well, my number.
76?
Yeah.
What word?
You think I'm going to bust my road on the internet, like, down the radio, so I'll have all your haters come out to beat me up, like, your brothers, right?
No, I need to know so I can wait for, so I can have a run with my gaffer and see what went wrong.
Flippin' hell, Alan Wright. Do you think I'm going to advertise my road I live on?
I need to know what road you live on.
Yeah, so you and your brother can beat the shit out of me tomorrow night.
Excuse me. I need to know what road you live on so I can deliver the paper to the right road.
Alan, you know your paper delivery roads. And I'll leave next
to... I looked at any operators, which my gaffer told me when I get to the shop for the following day. I need to know.
Alan, why are you always, like, harassing me? Everywhere in Harbin and Bartley Green Village. Every time I go down there, you're always bloody Mike doing the old bleeding Matthew Wright, harassing people and shouting and screaming and that. You know, just being on the total arse. Hello, Alan? Oh, Ian Wright. Before I go, can I just say one thing to you, Ian?
No, you can't.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number, the late night alternative with me, Ian Lee. On Talk Radio. I'm a bit tired today. I'm feeling a little bit, I don't want to say discombobulated because that's a poncy word, but I'm feeling not quite there. I wanted to do some streaming today, but I woke up too early and I made the mistake of looking at my phone. I say too early. It was about 9 o'clock maybe. And I could have got another hour and a half sleeping. I went up, got up for a pee. I did it quietly so the cats wouldn't know I was up and wouldn't hassle me for food, which is what they do. And then I went back to bed and I thought, I'd just look at my phone. And then I had an email from someone and it was a really stroppy email. It was an angry email. So suddenly I'm in bed, just raging, just raging. So I had to reply immediately, and my first reply was, dear whoever, just grow the F up, Ian. Now, luckily, I deleted that before I sent it, because that would not have helped matters. But then I just wrote this email that's just said, you're wrong, and this is why I think you're wrong, and and it's just left me in a really weird mood for the rest of the day. Just kind of, I didn't get back to sleep, and I got up and I was going to do some streaming on Twitch, but then I was in a bit of a lousy mood, so I didn't. So I had some coffee, and it was a very boring day. I'm not going to go through the entire day for you, because that would be kind of dull. But I did have a massage, and the port of Aiden, my masseur, and he's pumping away behind me, and he said, are you feeling more relaxed now? And I said, I'm going to be honest, Aiden, I'm feeling, the more you're doing it, not your fault, this is coming from me, but the more you're hammering away behind me, the more stressed I'm getting, because I couldn't stop thinking about this email, and I could just feel this righteous indignation rising up. Then I did manage to go to bed and have a little doze, and then I'm just pottering around, and I really wanted to stream some games online on my Twitch channel, and I didn't. And then I came into London early, and I went and saw my therapist, and here's the thing he's told me. Here's the thing he suggested I do, and we were sat there talking, and I said, I've got to stop emailing these people, haven't I? He went, yeah, you've got to let it go. And, well, man alive, that's a tough thing. When you're engaged in an argument with a group of people, and letting go of it, man, that is hard work. If you've got any tips on how to let go of it's a relationship and it's an argument, let me know, because the email that came to me was so full of inaccuracies, and I felt that I had to defend myself. But really, it's not going to change their opinion. It's not going to change their mind about anything. They're still going to think I'm a dick, and I'm still going to feel betrayed by them. So I just need to let it go. So that means if another email comes in, gulp, I'm not going to reply to it. Imagine someone emails you and says a load of stuff that is untrue, and you just kind of go, okay, I'm not going to reply to it. I'm just going to let that sit there and let that exist in that sphere. It's a tough one to do, man. And I know ultimately it's for my good, and it is for everyone's good. It's for their good, and it's for my good, and it's for the good of everyone around me. So I need to learn to do that. And it's tough, isn't it? Letting go of stuff like that is a hard thing to do. So that's where my head is today. And so I go from, I alternate from raging, like this real righteous indignation, to feeling really, really upset that I have to let these people go out of my life. People who've been part of my life for a while, I have to go, I think we're done here, guys. I think we're done. And I have to let them go, and it's a real strange thing. So I've not been able to settle today is the point I'm trying to make. I have not been able to settle today. So I'm not quite sure where we're going to go with the show tonight. I feel a little bit, what should we do? We could sit and we can do some, like, you know, topics. Dave, you need to call back in. Call back in, and I'm going to put you straight to air, because that's the kind of ship that we're running here this evening. 0344 499 1000. So I'm kind of feeling a loss today as to where to go, and I'm missing Kath a bit. Don't tell her I said that, because she'll use it as she'll use it as collateral. But normally I would kind of phone her up and go, oh, I'm out, so I didn't have the option today. So I don't quite know what to do with the show. I've got a feeling that the calls are going to be, you take that one, Hayley, and if it's Dave, I'll take him, and if it's not, you can call him back. I've got a feeling that we're not going to get too many calls tonight, which is fine. Those are the shows where I earn the money. The shows where we get loads of calls, I'm kind of doing for free. It's, the shows where we don't get many calls, they're the ones that, that I invoice for. So, what do you want to do tonight, dear listener? What do you want to chat about? Do you want to play silly? I've got a load of stories to talk about. I've got some really interesting, dumb stories to talk about. So I can go through those. But I don't know. What do you fancy? I feel I have led the tone of the last week's worth of shows. I have my iPod here. Someone's just suggested iPod roulette. I have my iPod here. If anyone fancies a round of that, I'm very happy to play that. I feel that I've led the tone of the show in the past week. And that feels a little bit unfair on my part. So do you want to set the tone tonight? That can only work if you call in. Okay, if you want to set the tone, that can only work if you call in. I mean, if you don't call in, it's going to be me going through stories and, you know, doing some kind of emotional, psychological, spiritual spring cleaning. I don't know. So I'm kind of leaving it up to you this evening. I'm going to be here until 1 o'clock, and I'm happy for it to go any way you want it to go. Up, down, left, right, backwards, forwards, any way you want it to go. If you call in, I'll follow that vibe. If you don't call in, I'll set my own vibe. The phone number is 0344 499 1000. You'll speak to Hayley. She takes your name and number and gives you a call straight back. Doesn't ask what you want to talk about. You just get a call straight back. So it's free for most of you. I tell you what, we'll take a quick break. We'll do a little advert for one of my colleagues. I hope it's not Matthew, right? And then we'll speak to Marie and Paul, and we've got Grant. And it could be you as well. 0344 499 1000. This is the late night alternative. Could be an odd one tonight. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Let's go to Marie. Good evening, Marie.
Hey.
Hey, you, the Rocksteady crew.
I'm talking to a real person.
No, that's what you think.
So,
yes,
I'm sitting outside in the dark.
Yes.
I've got a campfire burning.
Oh, beautiful.
Jasmine candle.
Oh, yeah.
And
smoking a doobie?
I just, now that summer seems to be disappearing.
Isn't it getting darker earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's horrendous.
So, you know, being a mum who pre-plans,
yes.
I've also got here some solar lights that I've been charging today.
Oh, yeah.
Since we've had a bit of sunshine.
Yes.
I'm looking at tulips and some butterflies and a magnolia.
Ooh.
And something else. It's a bally thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here by myself. My 7-year-old autistic boy was out. We live in a wonderful place. I'm sure.
Oh.
We have some tire swings here.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not very often that kids get the opportunity to be out in the dark, to be outside in nature in the dark.
Yes.
And I made him some, whoop, my alarm is ringing because I'm checking something on eBay. I want to, I'm buying winter clothes, but I'll stop this right now.
You're buying winter clothes in August? Wow, you really are preparing.
Yeah, yeah, some lovely, lovely Ugg boots. I've already bought the reindeer outfit. My little boy was very big into Dr. Seuss. With the reindeer, you know, Max the dog.
Yes.
We tried it. We tried to put a reindeer thingy on our dog, and it was a disaster. he's a very working man. He did not want to be mad. And my boy was swinging. I'm making some glow-in-the-dark circles, which I have to sellotape because otherwise they break and he gets very frustrated.
Yeah.
And I could just see darkness, and he was on this tire swing that's really, really high up, tied to a branch.
Yes.
And I could just swinging with these glow-in-the-dark rings. And you wanted a new trend? Well,
yeah.
You talk about lots of things. I can talk about.
You're breaking up, Marie. You're breaking up, and you're painting this marvelous picture of late summer, late night beauty, and then you're breaking up.
Well, I am in a forest. I can walk around a little bit. I've got cats here. You talked about your cats earlier. I have three.
You've taken your cats to a forest?
We live in a forest.
Oy.
And I have four cats and a dog, and they are the best of friends, you know. We had it first, and later, all for my little boy, because just kids relate to animals better than...
I feel like you're... Are you...
Yeah?
Are you asking me out on a date?
I would love to. How are you single?
I'm not single at the moment. It feels like we're on...
I watched this brilliant film, The Upside, the guy in the wheelchair. Have you seen it?
No.
I can't go to the cinema because of my kid, but it's been on Amazon. No, it's been on Netflix, actually. The guy in the wheelchair. And he has this dude who is a total loser from prison.
Oh, is this the Bryan Cranston thing?
I think so.
The guy from Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, one of the quotes that I have written down is, how married are you?
Well, listen, I am courting, and I am very happy, Marie, but I am flattered that you would invite me to your creepy house in the forest, where you could potentially murder me.
I want to tell you one last thing.
Please
do. It's a cloudy night.
Yes.
And one of the eBay bargains I'm awaiting...
Yes.
It's a telescope for my boy. I can see the stars now, and
beautiful.
I want to get him interested in telescopes.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Thanks very much for your call, Marie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She was chatting me up, right? That was a chat-up call. It felt like... And thank you so much, Marie. I'm very, very flattered. Genuinely, I'm very flattered, but I'm okay at the moment. It felt like if you ever watch First Dates... It felt like the conversation that goes on, you know, where they go to the restaurant with the French man, Fred. And it felt like a conversation in First Dates. And that was a lot of information. And I couldn't quite work out why. Then I worked out why. But thank you, Marie. That's very kind of you. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Ian. First time speaking to you.
Have you been listening for a long time?
I have.
Then hang on a minute. I should always have this ready.
Oh.
There you go. There's the actual bell. It's a real
bell.
Thanks very much. Are you phoning to chat me up?
No, I was about to say she was definitely chatting you up.
She was, wasn't she?
She was. First time caller and all that rubbish, is what you were saying about that email.
Yeah.
And how you couldn't settle all day.
Yes, yes.
And you were like, if I do reply, they're still going to think I'm a dick.
Yeah.
And what you need to remember is you can't control what people think of you.
No.
But you can control how you react
to
what's said to you.
Go on, I'm liking this.
So when you read it and say, well, they're coming from a place of hurt. I know I'm okay, but they're coming from a place of hurt. And rather than... look within themselves to fix it, they'd rather throw shit at someone else, even if they're close to you.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't settle all day, I would suggest just, and I'm not going to go all hippie buddy, but just breathe, just follow your breath.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's told you to do this.
Yeah, do you know what? I couldn't, someone said, just go and meditate. Go and meditate now. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't settle down enough to get into that kind of vibe.
Mm. If someone tells you to meditate, it's really hard.
Yeah.
But if someone says, just sit quietly and just follow your breath, just the sensation on your nostrils, going in and coming out, and all those thoughts like big balloons shooting across the mind. Oh. Just be aware of them and then just refocus on your breath.
Yeah.
Wow. You can do 2-3 minutes of that, you'll feel totally calm.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Strange old world, isn't it? And there's a brilliant, Catherine retweeted a Russell Brand thing the other day, and I didn't watch it all, but there was just a line in there. What other people think about you is none of your business.
That's right, yeah.
And that's it. And that is, that is absolutely spot on. But I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at it. Couldn't get much worse. But, it's so hard for me, and it always has been, to stop worrying about what other people think. I'm getting so much better at it. Certainly the last 2 months, I've freed myself from a lot of shame and a lot of guilt and a lot of self-loathing, and I'm getting better at it. But I still want people to like me, and well, not everyone's going to like me.
No, but probably part of that is the job you're in.
Yeah, yes.
But you need to like yourself. I know it's a cliche. You need to like yourself.
Yeah.
And then when someone else says they don't like you, you can say, well, actually, I'm all right. I'm a nice guy.
I'm a great guy.
I'm disregarding your barbed comment.
Mm.
And it'll work on Twitter as well.
How come I don't give a stuff about Twitter anymore? That's one of the joys of it. I've got so many people slagging me off, you know, on Twitter, and I literally, it doesn't affect me one single jot, you know, since I came out a couple of months ago. Twitter's like, yeah, whatever. You're going to call me a queer and a junkie and a divorced. Okay, fine. Those things are fine. It has no effect on me at all. This is something much more, profound and personal. I don't know. It's, life's hard. How come you're so wise, Paul?
I got into Buddhism a couple of years ago, and I've been full on. Plus, I'm disabled, so I'm housebound, so I get a lot of time to study and meditate.
Because some people might think, well, hang on, if you're housebound, that could make you, particularly bitter, you know, rightfully bitter and angry and, all of that stuff. But you've turned, I'm not saying all disabled people are that for a second. Please don't think that. But you have somehow turned this into a Zen kind of journey.
I have, yeah. I used to be resentful and why me kind of thing. And now there isn't a single person on the planet that I hate.
Wow. Thanks, man.
Very calm and very zen. And, you know, if you just try that, take away the meditation word and just try that.
Yeah.
And as you, even if you do it twice a week and then 3 times, et cetera, et cetera, and 100% guarantee that it will help you. And it isn't all hippie and you don't.
No, not at all. Out of all of them, out of all those, and I use the term religion in inverted commas, in italics, and with a small r, because I know Buddhism isn't actually a religion, but Buddhism and the Quakers, they seem like the only, compared to all the others, Judaism and Christianity and Islam and Sikhism and the Quakers and Buddhism, they seem like the only sensible, obvious choices, don't they?
I think so. It's basically just be nice to people. Be kind.
That's it. Hey, Paul, it's nice to talk to you, man. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
What a nice guy. What a nice guy. 0344-499-1000. We've got Matt, we've got Grant, and we could have you, dear listener.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I'm not really sure where to take the show tonight, so I'm kind of handing it over to you. Hello, Paul. I'm handing it over to you. You can do whatever you want. And it doesn't have to get heavy. I'm just explaining that my head's, in a slightly strange. But I think today is a very important day for me. Today is going to be the day that I let go of significant amounts of the past. I let it go. I let it go. And I'm going to taste freedom unlike any other. But it's hard work, isn't it? So I'm just feeling a little bit, you know? So I'm not quite sure in which direction to take the show. So I'm handing it over to you. Anything goes. 0344-499-1000. If you call up, we'll just sit and chat about whatever you fancy. If you don't call up, I've got some stories in the papers and online that we can talk about. It's all very simple. Have I got my iPod? Where's my iPod? Because we could have a game of iPod. Oh, no. It's in my car. I can do it on my computer. If you fancy a game of iPod roulette, we can do a little bit of that. We can do whatever you fancy. I don't care. Let's go to Matt. Good evening, Matt.
Hi. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Matt. What you got for us?
Oh, it's really weird speaking to you. Long time listener, first time caller.
There you go, brother. Nice to talk to you, Matt. What you got for us?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, talking about old series that used to be on, like, sort of documentaries.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Come Home, Gary Glitter?
Come Home, Gary Glitter?
Yes.
Go on.
Oh, it was on BBC. It was on BBC Three, probably about 14 years ago.
It wasn't the fake Gary Glitter trial, was it?
No. It's two guys. It's on YouTube. It's awesome.
Go on. They interview Jackie Chan, don't they?
Yes.
Go on. What all I remember is them talking to Jackie Chan about Gary Glitter. Go on. Remind me what
and,
it is.
And it's got Clifford swallowing a fly.
I don't remember that
Max
bit.
Clifford?
Max Clifford?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that bit.
Yeah.
It was two, like, people in their 20s, wasn't it? Just going around the world trying to get Gary Glitter.
They're two geezers that go around in Thailand and Vietnam trying to find Gary Glitter.
Wow.
And they do speak to Jackie Chan, but it's got Max Clifford choking on a fly during the interview. I just thought when you said about it a few months ago about documentaries, I thought, oh, I keep meaning to ring you up and tell you about that one.
Oh, mate, that's tomorrow. Sorted. If I don't stream on Twitch tomorrow, it's Matt's fault, because I'm going to be watching Come Home, Gary Glitter.
Yeah. It's something like Come Home, Gary Glitter. They try and get him to come home and...
They don't speak to him, do they?
No, they don't find him, but they nearly track him down.
I recommend... While we're on this tip, right... I'm going to recommend something to you that's on YouTube and that many people will find highly inappropriate, right?
Go on.
It's from about 1982, and it's an arena special about Gary Glitter joining Jerry Cottle's circus.
Okay.
It is the most... Basically, I think it's Jerry Cottle's circus. Basically, Gary Glitter isn't doing very well. He's not had a hit for a long time. Circuses, no one's going to circuses. So someone has the great idea of putting two flagging entertainment industries together and creating Gary Glitter's Rock and Roll Circus. And it's basically him doing a travelling concert with a circus going on around him.
That sounds amazing.
It is the most... I won't spoil it, but it doesn't work. You may be surprised to hear. It is the most incredible documentary I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just awesome. you think back and you just think, oh, my God, how did no one know? But
yeah. Oh, God, it's so obvious now. It's so obvious. And I think what he did was abhorrent. But check it out. Matt, thank you. That was an excellent first call. Come Home, Gary Glitter. I'm having that. This arena thing is... It's something else. It really is something else. Now, someone's just telling me that they're coming to the show that me and Catherine are doing, at the Rondo Theatre on the 7th of September on their own. Good for you. Well done. They're right. Look, we've only got 26 tickets left. This is incredible. These are incredible scenes. Saturday, the 7th of September, me and Catherine Boyle are going to be at the Rondo Theatre, 8 o'clock. It's a two-hour show. We stick around afterwards to take photos, shake hands, say hello to everybody. It's a live phone-in show. It's kind of like this radio show, but a lot swearier. Sometimes, you know, some of the stars of this show phone in. Sometimes they don't. But loads of people come to our shows on their own. This is one of the nice things that me and Kath have found out, is that we've got lots of lonely people listening to us. And sometimes they come on their show. So don't ever feel embarrassed about buying one ticket for one of our shows. No one will make fun of you. No one will tease you. The audience are invited to take part, but there is absolutely no obligation whatsoever. You can stick around afterwards and shake hands, or you can sneak off and we'll think no less of you. So we've got Saturday the 7th September, we're doing the Rabbit Hole in Bath. Saturday the 14th of September, we've got the Rabbit Hole Picture Show in London, where we're showing My Cousin Vinny. And then we've got a Rabbit Hole in Brighton in November, I think the 9th. If you go to ianlee.com/event, ianlee.com/event, all the tickets are going to be there, so do come. Good evening, Duncan.
Hey.
Hey, Dunks.
Hey, I bet you don't. But do you remember last time I called you? Bet you don't.
Nope.
It was a year ago, and I told you all about Perpetual Motion.
Nope, don't remember it.
No, not at all. What about the pigeons eating cigarettes?
Don't remember that.
All right, well, I've got a new thing.
Okay. Sorry, here's the thing. I don't remember what happened yesterday. Now, Catherine is normally the one that, she's, you know, she's like a wife or a PA at a party where she'll see...
Let's call it an oracle. Let's call it an oracle.
Okay. And she'll see someone coming and lean over to, you know, the person she's with and go, now, the person's coming is Steve, and you met Steve 3 years ago, and he's married to Brenda. She would do that. I don't remember anything that I've ever done before.
And she didn't just do that at all now.
Sorry?
And she didn't just do that now.
No, because she's in Corfu, mate. Well done for listening to the last week of shows. It's appreciated.
That's all right.
I'll start remembering you when you start listening. How's about that?
All right.
Is that a deal?
That's a good deal.
Good lad. Well done. What you got, Dunks? Big Dunks?
Well, I am a 25-year-old guy that has got a moustache without a beard.
Okay.
I thought you were... Are you still doing that thing?
You literally haven't listened for 4 months, have you?
Well, I listen when I go to sleep. It's like 10 o'clock to me bedtime.
Okay. I was growing the moustache, then I got rid of it. And now I'm free of shame and I couldn't give a stuff what anybody else thinks. I'm growing a moustache back.
So earlier you said it's like time for a new start and like a new life and all
new
that.
New life and all that.
Yeah. Right, moustache is called freedom, mate. Everybody hates it. Everybody thinks it's disgusting.
Yep.
It looks like a... That you
want to
tickle someone.
No. No one likes it. I don't care. I don't care
what other people think. My mum said that it looks like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Your mum likes
mine.
Yeah, that's what she said.
She said
there's nothing more than I love than Ian Lee's
moustache underneath me. Yes, sir. It's your mum I'm talking about. You should be challenging me to a fight now. I'm disrespecting your mother.
She said she wants a runner up her stairs.
Okay, all right.
A little bit of carpet.
Wow, that's your mother you're talking about. Wow, she gave birth to you, and that's the disrespect. That is the disrespect that you show the woman through whom you passed.
I might not have.
Okay, I don't quite understand that, but okay.
Well, my milkman's a woman, so it's 2019.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It doesn't make any sense. That joke works kind of if you're talking about your dad, but it doesn't work. You're suggesting your real mother is actually the milkman, and she left you on the doorstep, and your mother decided to bring you up.
What, my mum ordered milk, and there was me instead.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, now I know why I don't remember your calls. They're shit. Let's go to Grant. Good evening, Grant.
Hi there, mate. You're right.
I'm very, very well, thank you, Grant. What have you got for us tonight?
Oh, good. I was going to say. Oh, hold on a sec. I'm just in McDonald's through the drive-through. Can you order fruit for me?
Yeah. What would you like?
Can I take your order, please?
Yeah, can I get a barbecue signature meal with large fries and a Coke, please?
Double Coke. Hello?
Hello?
A normal Coke or Diet Coke, sorry.
A normal Coke, please.
Well, okay, no problem.
And can I also get a McFlurry, please?
Yeah, which McFlurry do you want?
Which ones have you got?
Got crunchy, dairy milk.
I'll have a crunchy. Can I ask, are you single?
Yeah.
When I come round, do you want to swap phone numbers and stuff? And maybe we can go out on a date?
Is there anything else I can get for you?
Sorry?
Is there anything else I can get for you?
Well, there is plenty you could get for me, because you sound fit.
Thank you.
Are you single?
Just drive round, thank you.
Is that a yes?
Sorry, mate, I've just ordered the, what was it, a signature dish or whatever it was.
Yes, mate, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, that sounds lovely, that does, yeah.
Okay, Grant, well, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go, I've got no idea. Let's go to Simsy. Good evening, Simsy.
That was funny. I don't know how to top that.
You don't have to top anything, Simsy. This is it. We, every time a new call starts, we reset the clock.
We reset, yeah. Okay, so you're a music buff, aren't
you? Yes, I am.
You call yourself a music buff. I've started listening to Sparks.
Okay.
Right? And I put together a playlist on Spotify. I'm absolutely disgusted at a particular track, and I can't get past it.
Is it Pineapple?
No.
Okay.
It's from an album called Terminal Jive from 1980.
Okay, I'm not so familiar with the kind of 80s stuff, but go on.
Oh, well, the song is called Young Girls.
Whoa!
Ian, listen, Google those lyrics while I'm on the line. You'll never believe the stuff they're saying. I can't get past it now. I stopped my whole enjoyment of that band.
Okay, hang on a minute. Let's have a little look. Here we go. Let's have a little look.
It's disgraceful and upsetting.
Okay, well, let's have a listen. Here we go. Here we go.
It's annoying. It's a good track. The music's good.
I like their arms.
Yeah.
I like their legs. I like their lips. Their widening hips. Their radios. They live at home. They don't have cars. I have a home. I have a car. They like that. They like that. Young girls haven't seen the whole night, and they hold you, though it might not be tight, and they will kiss you, though it might not be right, because they're young girls. Gosh, it's a little bit fruity, isn't it?
And you haven't even got to the second verse. I mean, it just gets worse.
Okay.
I can't see past it anymore. I've got it.
Okay, well, that's... So, are you telling me that Sparks are cancelled?
Sparks are officially cancelled.
Thanks very much for that, Simsy. We'll keep an updated list of... I know it's patter thievery, but Sparks are cancelled. Thank you, Simsy. Let's go to Dredge. Good evening, Dredge.
Hello, boy.
Oh?
Sorry, I had an attack of a Steve Wright there.
There we go. Steve Wright.
So, I don't like... I've got lift anxiety and also bus stop anxiety. I'm not sure what to do about it.
I don't think...
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Well, I don't like getting in lifts with other people, because I find it awkward. I will wait. I'll literally wait till there's nobody in the lift, and then I'll get in it. That's weird, isn't it?
I don't think it's that weird. I think that I bet there are a lot of people like that.
Well, I'd like to meet them, and then, you know, at least we understand each other, and we'll go up in the same lift.
You could all go up in the same lift, but you'd have to go one at a time, wouldn't you? Otherwise, it's going to be...
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah. And I don't like bus stops, because I have this thing, I don't like, I'm standing there, you know, if I'm standing there on my own and then somebody else turns up and they're waiting for the bus, I feel really weird again.
I love bus stops.
I have to go down the road and hide around the corner.
Well, that is weird. I'm gonna call you out on that. You should never shame anybody for their weird mental habits, but that is, I nearly saw then, that is flipping nuts. And you should be ashamed of yourself for that behaviour, for God's sakes. Do you not have headphones that you can put on? You don't have to listen to anything, but headphones make you invisible.
That is, I can see what you mean there. I think famous people like you do that.
Yep. I fake phone calls. There's a guy that comes here and delivers the papers at Talk Radio after the show is finished. and he annoys the hell out of me. He's so rude, right? And it's in terms of banter, but when people start calling you an effing C as part of banter, then you know that is, that's crappy banter, right? And so I try and avoid him, and the other day I avoided him by, as soon as I saw him, I picked up my phone and went, uh-huh. No, no. Oh, you're joking. No, 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 no. And so I did that. Dredge, stay there. I've got to go to the news and then we'll come back. 0344-499-1000. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Four 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 nine nine one thousand. The late night alternative with me, Ian Lee. Catherine is off for the rest of this week. I'm off on Friday. Yeah, wow, 4 day week. 4 day week, living the dream. Let's go to Joe. Good evening, Joe.
Hi, Ian. How you doing, mate?
I am on top of the world. Apart from having fleas and being physically exhausted, I'm great, Joe. What have you got for us?
Yeah, you sounded good as well.
Thank you, mate.
Sounded really well.
Thank
you. Yeah, just you're on about. Are you being dumped? Is that one of your callings?
Yeah, go on.
Well, I feel like I've been dumped by yourself.
Oh.
From Twitter.
Oh, God. What did I do? Did I block you?
Yeah.
What did you say to me, Joe?
I've just been looking it up while I've been on hold.
Yeah. You're telling me you don't remember what you said to me. Okay, go
on. I had to look it up, but it was just something about Michael Jackson. Do you know when that documentary came out?
Yeah.
I just said, let him rest or something like that.
Read out exactly what you said to me, Joseph. Exactly.
I'm scrolling down.
Scrolling down.
Scrolling down.
Scrolling down. I'm going to be honest, I was getting a lot of, my position on Jackson has shifted somewhat, but I was getting a lot of, kind of very, is virulent? Is that a word? Virulent? Why can't I say virulent? Anyway, very...
I know what you mean, yeah.
Virulent. Can't say it. A lot of very angry Jackson supporters. Bit of a cough you got there. A lot of angry Jackson supporters, and it got to a point where it was just relentless. So I was just blocking. I just blocked everybody. But maybe I want to hear the tweet, Joe. I want to hear that tweet in all its heavenly glory.
All right. Well, there's a few of them.
Go on.
First one says, does it really matter if you did it or not? How does it affect your life now?
Well, okay. Well, it does. I think that's dismissive of child sexual abuse and victims of child sexual abuse, of which I am one. So it does affect my life.
But,
yes.
Yeah, but it did. Yeah, didn't. I didn't. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Okay. Well, that's great. Okay.
Second one, but you'll never know for sure. The guy is brown bread. Have you seen the film Memento? I don't know what that was about.
It's a good film, Memento, but I don't see the connection. Yeah. Okay, maybe I didn't like the film Memento, and that's why I blocked you, yeah.
And the next one, maybe he did touch a few kids, but why does it matter so much?
That's what I blocked you for.
Oh, right, okay.
Because it does matter. Maybe he touched a few kids, but why does it matter? Well, because...
So much, right. Oh, it was getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
It was, like, all over the newspapers, all over the TV. I mean, it's horrendous what he did, if he did it.
Yeah, but then that's a very, very dismissive, dare I say it? And listen, I'm going to unblock you, Joe. I'm saying that now. So I'm going to unblock you. But that is, I can see why I blocked you for that. That is a very dismissive, and I'm going to say it, arrogant, and I would say cruel. I would say it's a cruel thing. If he did touch a few quids, why does it matter? Whatever. That's a cruel thing to say, because... listen, my abuse as a kid was nothing, you know, I didn't get raped, you know, compared to a lot of other people, it's not a lot. But I do know that we have a lot of people that listen to the show that have been raped as kids, that have had the worst kind of sexual abuse. And my real concern, and I have stepped back a little bit from my 100% condemnation of Michael Jackson, I explained it a couple of weeks ago, why I'd taken a big step back. But, my biggest concern at the time was that a lot of people who have been victims of child sexual abuse, their stories were being dismissed by some very pro-Jackson supporters. The two things, Michael Jackson being one thing and other victims of sexual abuse, the two things were kind of getting conflated by a lot of people. And I just felt that was unnecessary. So that's why I blocked you, Joe. But give me your Twitter handle, please.
Yeah, it's Joe Bowers, J-O.
Yeah.
B-O-W-E-R-S.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay. Oh, who's Joe Bowers? One. Who's this scumbag?
I don't know. Can I just read the last two?
There's more! Oh, no! Yeah. I bet the last one is, and you're a massive twat, Lee, and I'm going to kill you.
The last two are, I watched part of the documentary, and from what I saw, I definitely abused kids. And that is horrific, but it seems like a witch hunt on a dead guy. Sad times. And the last one is, people who touch kids should be shot in an ideal world. I'm not defending them at all, but maybe we should focus our attention to people that are alive and doing it now.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to offend you.
Okay, I probably blocked you at that point. I recognise your face. Have we met?
No, we spoke before.
But I'm looking at your picture now. You're a good-looking guy. You're wearing a pair of headphones. But I recognise you.
Right, we might have met. I used to live in London a while ago.
Maybe I just stalk everybody who I block. You're on block, man.
Nice one. You're sounding good, mate. You're sounding good.
Joe, thank you very much. I'm glad we made peace.
Nice one, mate.
Thank you, man. If anyone else has been blocked by me, it's quite a few of you. Let's have a little look. There are loads of you, actually. I don't know how you work Twitter anymore. I now look at Twitter the way that my mum would look at the TV remote control. It's like, privacy and safety, blocked. Oh, it doesn't say how many I've got blocked. Maybe it'll say it on my phone. Let's talk to David while I look on my phone and see how many I've blocked. Good evening, David.
I'm stockpiling shoes. Bye.
Thanks very much for your call. 0344-499-1000. He's stockpiling shoes. Excellent contribution. Susan.
I've got a film for you. I think you'll enjoy.
It doesn't tell me how many people I've blocked. It used to give you a number. What's the point of this?
Are you talking to me or are you not talking to me?
I'm carrying on the thought that I had before.
Okay, right.
Phone up. I'm saying,
can we move on?
Just chill out, baby. You move on when I say we move on. When I say we're gonna move on. And right now, I wanna know how many goddamn SOBs I have blocked on Twitter. She's still talking. Don't realise the fader's down. It used to say you have blocked like 206, but I blocked over 300 people. I'm pretty sure of it. And that's, and there, here we go. She's just, I blocked a lot of people. But if there's any way I could find out how many, that would be awesome. Okay. Let's move on to, Susan recommending a film that I'm never going to watch. Away you go, Susan.
Right. Right. First of all, have you seen it? It's called The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch and Keira Knightley starring in it.
No, it's the film about the guy that did the code breaking thing.
Yeah.
Sounds boring.
No.
Yeah, it sounds boring. I'm not going to watch it.
It's, no,
what's
I'll
his
tell
name?
You what.
What's his name?
It's fascinating. Turing, Alan Turing.
Yeah, boring.
Yeah, Alan Turing.
Yeah, boring. Alan Boring, I call
it's,
him.
No. Yes? I tell you what,
Alan
it's
Boren.
It's totally fascinating.
To you it is, but to me it'll be boring.
No, to
so.
Everybody.
No, not to, how arrogant. Not to everybody. I know the story because I'm not an idiot. Because I'm not an idiot, Susan. I know the Alan Turing story.
I
don't need a Hollywood fictionalised account to tell me what should actually be British history. I know it. I don't want to watch a movie of it. At the weekend, I watched my sixth shark movie in 2 weeks. It was called Deep Blue Sea. Now that is a movie. 1999. Great film. You watch that.
What's it about?
It's about some intelligent sharks that kill Samuel L. Jackson. That was a spoiler. I didn't mean to do that.
No, what's it really about?
It's about...
Because I haven't
I've literally just told you. It's about some intelligent sharks that kill Samuel L. Jackson.
Do they kill anybody else?
Yeah, loads of people, but I'm not, Keith. I'm not going to spoil it for everyone.
All right, okay.
It's a great film. Watched it with my boys. Great film.
Really?
Loved it.
So it's children-orientated as well
as
adult?
No, it's an adult film. I show my kids adult films. When they come this weekend, it's Friday night, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. When Saturday night is Driller Killer. Yeah. Sunday night is I Spit on Your Grave. With The Exorcist double bill.
That's not funny, Ian.
It's very funny. We played Five Nights at Freddy, by the way, on VR on the PS4. There's a great... If anyone's played that, oh, it's a great game. Five Nights at Freddy's. I thoroughly recommend that. Susan!
What was your first remembered song?
I told you. I said it already.
No.
Yeah,
because I haven't only just... No.
Yep.
You haven't. You've told me what film you were watching.
No,
you haven't told me what your favourite song was.
I told the listener.
Which listener?
The listener to this show. I told them, if you've been listening, at about 10 minutes to 11.
Right, okay, forget that. Right. Can I
forget
talk
what?
To you about what you've just said, because I missed it.
Okay, well, you screwed up.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, okay?
Some people can see how many people they've blocked on Twitter. I can't.
Can I talk to you about Ayrton Senna, the Formula One racing driver who lost his life at 34?
No, you can't, because you were talking to James Whale about it 2 hours ago. Next, we don't recycle topics.
Right. What do you want me to talk to you about?
How you say the word goodbye.
Oh, well, you know what to do, don't you? Just flick the switch. Pull the plug. It's your prerogative. Oh, well, you know what to do, don't you? Just flick the switch. Which I'm sure you'd like to do. What would you like me to talk about? Pull the plug. It's your prerogative. Oh, well, you know what to do, don't you? Just
hit the switch. Au revoir.
Guten Nacht.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Thank you to everybody who recommended I watch Deep Blue Sea. I think it was Ollie and then a few others kind of backed up. That's some film. Six shark films I've seen in the past 2 weeks. Jaws. Jaws 2. Jaws 3. Jaws 4. Sharknado. And Deep Blue Sea. And my boys watched The Meg without me. So they've seen 7. What a world. What a world we live in. Good evening, Thomas!
I just
was calling up because I'm not a nonce, I'm not a smooth criminal. Hey, pretty Ian with the high heels on. He's got a beard and he wears a condom. No, I just wanted to say that, you know, I thought it was slightly offensive that you told me that I'm a smooth criminal. Dirty Diana. Not the Princess of Wales, Daddy Diana. Not the Princess of Wales, because I'm not bad, not bad. You know I'm not bad. I'm not bad, not bad. You know who's bad, not me. Not guilty on all counts. Come on.
Okay, thanks very much for calling. Everyone's telling me how I can see how many people are blocked. It's not working on my computer or my phone. It's not there. So everybody, I've got a Huawei. Maybe that's why. So everybody's saying, oh, this is really, I cannot see how many people I've blocked. And I would like that information because I blocked a lot of people, man. Blocked a lot of people. 03444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to, give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome. Here we go. Where's the story? Where's the story gone? Where's this? Hang on a minute. I'll click a button. The internet here is really not very good at the moment. Here we go. Recently, we discovered that a worrying number of people aren't washing their underwear correctly. Well, I don't even know what that means. So I'm going to click on that story, first of all. They're not washing their underwear correctly. So if I click on that, I'm going to regret this because we're going to lose this page. Here we go. So how come you're not? How often do you wash your knickers, pants or boxers? Well, it turns out, even if your answer is every day, you're probably still wearing dirty underwear and you didn't even know it. This is according to the hygiene doctor, Dr. Lisa Ackerley, who recently revealed the best practice when it comes to washing your undercrackers. I've never said the word undercrackers before in my life, and I'm kind of wishing I hadn't just said it twice then. The health expert explained that unless you set your washing machine to a certain temperature, it won't kill the bacteria on your pants. She added that because of this, you shouldn't put them into wash with other household items. I made a terrible mistake. My two of my favorite T-shirts, my Tulane Blacktop and my Angela Mao Kung Fu T-shirt, I put them in with black jeans. Oh, jeez. I put them in with black jeans, and I thought the black jeans had been washed enough so that it wouldn't, it hadn't, and it's ruined them. Not ruined them, but they're dirty now. With knickers and pants, anything under 60 degrees won't kill the bacteria. Don't put the knickers in with tea towels on a low wash because you might have fecal contamination in your knickers and you wouldn't want that near your kitchen. Well, I got two young boys and three cats. So, you know, there's been like, I have two litter trays for the cats. Even though they go outside to play, they will not go to the toilet outside. So I've got a litter tray down in the kitchen, which they've stopped using. And I have a litter tray upstairs, which seems to be the one they use all the time. It's outside my bedroom. And I've been woken up several times in the night by a foul smelling cat shit. I mean, there's no way around it. That's what it is. The smell has woken me up so much, right? So, oh God, there's some of these people who are nuts. Nuts people that, blocked. Thank you. And I've had a piece of, yes, hello?
I've always washed my knickers on a 60 degree and not put them with anything else.
Thanks very much for your call, you dirty hussy. I've had a lump of cat poo on my landing, like a dry one, but just on the landing for like a week. This is the filth I live in. This is the filth. And I only picked it up today because the cleaner was coming and I didn't want her to think I was dirty. Okay, right. So that's, so you got to wash your pants on a 60. Okay, fine. Right. Good. That's great news. Anyway, back to this. back to this story. Geez, this website is so badly constructed. It's so hard to get into. Oh, come on, man. Hang on a minute. Bear with me, guys. Bear with me. I'm trying to get past a load of pop-ups. Here we go. Recently, we discovered a worrying number of people aren't washing their underwear correctly. All right, brilliant. Great for you. And now, to make matters worse, we've just found out that there are plenty out there who don't put on a clean pair of underwear every day. Okay. I was about to say that's disgusting, but we've all done it. I mean, I do. Okay. According to new research, around half of people in the US are America. It's slightly different rules over there. Don't change their underwear daily. And a disturbing 13% of those they spoke to even confessed to wearing the same pair of knickers or pants for an entire week. Okay, it's possible. And I have done it, right? You can wear... You can get 4 days wear out of them and they still be clean. And here's how. It's to do with rotation. So first day, you can wear them normally. Second day, you turn them round. Third day, you turn them inside out and wear them front facing. Fourth day, you turn them inside out and wear them back to front. And then if you needed to, you could go back to the original configuration on the fifth day, because by then it will have cleaned itself. That's science. I've done that a few times, but I think probably in the jungle I wore the same underwear. Because you were only allowed to take in, I think, how much underwear were you allowed to take in? Was it 2 pairs or 4 pairs? I think maybe it was 4 pairs you could take in, but you were there for, oh Jesus, what is, yes, what do you want? Stop calling. We haven't got any calls, but I'm not that desperate. I think I took 4 pairs into the jungle, but I could be wrong on that. Men were found to be the worst for doing this, with a survey of 1,000 Americans showing that males are 2.5 times more likely than women to wear the same pants for 7 days or longer. Okay. 7 days is pushing it. That really is pushing it. That's an emergency situation. The research also revealed... Is this a thing? The research also revealed that people felt a strong sense of loyalty for their underwear, with 46% of participants admitting they'd owned the same underwear for a year or more. Huh? I don't think that's so strange, is it? In an era where, what do they call it? Fast fashion, is that what they call it? Where, you know, people buy stuff and don't wear it, or they wear it once and throw it away. My underwear... I think I've still got some underwear that my mum bought for me when I was like a teenager. I think I've got a drawer that I think so. I can't remember the last time I bought pants. I mean, probably this century, but I couldn't be any more specific than that. Oh God, no, but more than a year old, of course. Around 38% also said they'd had their favourite underwear for so long and they couldn't remember when they bought it. Well, that's me. Of course I can't remember when I bought it. I know I bought it from Marx's. And when Marx's eventually goes bust, which it will do, gonna have nowhere to get my pants from. All of my underwear, we can have this conversation, dear listener. 03444991000. My socks and my boxers. Well, I don't know if they're, I think they're boxers, not trunks. Trunks are when they cling to your leg, aren't they? And boxers when you've got a bit of breathing room. They're all the same. They're all black. And I've kind of been thinking, maybe it's time to mix up the colour scheme a little bit. But I've never been... black boxers, I think that's kind of cool, and maybe I'm going to stick with those. But the socks, black socks, I feel I need a new direction in my sock buying plan. But this behaviour goes against this company's recommendations, as they advise their customers to throw out old underwear and buy new pants every 6 months to a year. Let me guess, is it an underwear company? that's done this survey? Yeah, it's an underwear maker. Jesus, come on. Are we that stupid? This is because underwear collects bacteria that can lead to nasty infections in the long run. Who's ever had an infection because their underwear is 5 years old? Oh, I got cockroach. How come? Doctor says it's because I'm wearing old pants. Wow, I'm sorry to hear that, man. And as for bras, Marks and Spencer's bra fit expert spoke to Mirror Online about when you need to get a new one. She said, in my opinion, a bra is at its best in its first year of being worn. Whoop-de-bloody-do. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on their hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tomorrow night from 10
on Talk Radio. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome, unless your name is Susan. Three bites of the cherry. Come on. Double bubble is frowned on here. Many people opt to have sex in the privacy of their own home, but every now and then a randy couple will sneak into a public loo on a night out. No. Susan, I just said don't call.
I'm talking about colonoscopies. I've got some information for you.
I'm not going for a colonoscopy anymore. I cancelled it.
Well, you shouldn't. They need to have a look
around.
Shut up. It's
important. Don't tell me what to do with my ass.
You must have it done.
No, don't. When did you get your doctorate, Susan? Sorry? When did you get your doctorate? You're telling me I should have a camera shoved up my bum. Are you some kind of weird pervert?
When I had a colonoscopy myself.
I'm not having a colonoscopy, so I'm not interested in yours.
Well, it's the only way that
the only way what?
Examine the that you'll see the inside of
your colon. I don't
want
to see the inside of my intestines.
Well, the doctor will, to make sure, because you messed yourself and you need to find out why.
That was ages ago and I'm fine. I know why. It was stress.
But then
thanks for your call. I look forward to speaking to you later in the week. Jeez. Here's the thing in this world, right? So I was going for a colonoscopy and now I'm not going for a colonoscopy. I've cancelled it. Oh, you should go for your colonoscopy. Oh, you've got to do it. No. Then people tweeting Kath Telly, and he's got to go for his colonoscopy. And she just went, it's up to him. But you can't do anything these days without someone going, oh, no, you don't want to do it like that. You want to do it like this. I'll do it the way I want to do it. My stomach issues have settled. I've worked out it was more likely stress. And I'm okay now. And I don't want to have, I've had a colonoscopy years ago, right? It ain't nice. It's not the end of the world. It's, it's manageable, but it ain't nice. And I'm feeling fine now, and I don't feel fine. I get the same symptoms when I get put in a stressful situation. So I've worked out it's stress. So I'm quite happy with that diagnosis. Had the blood test. It's not cancer. So I don't really want a camera shoved 16 centimetres up my jacksie when I pretty much know what's going on. I also don't want to waste NHS resources. So are people going, well, you should go. Will you stop phoning me, Susan? That's the noise you make when you have a colonoscopy. So I'm not having it done. If it gets worse, I'll go back to the doctor, but I'm fine. I'm not having it done. And you can't say online, I don't think I even said it online. Maybe I did, but I certainly said it on the radio. I'm not going to go for the colonoscopy. Ooh, yeah, you probably, you don't want to cancel that. You've got, dudes, I know my body. And you know what? At the moment, it's all right. Let's go to Sandy. Good evening, Sandy.
Oh my. Oh. I thought you might need rescuing.
What a conversation to jump into, hey? Isn't it?
I've not phoned before, but I thought all the poo and you know, I needed to underpants and I needed to jump in.
Thank you. Let's try and keep it above the waist for a little bit. This is the problem. I do get quite lavatorial, and Catherine, well, I was going to say Catherine kind of saves the show from that, but actually she's worse. She's terrible. disgusting human being, Catherine Boyle. I miss her terribly, terribly. Oh, I can't wait to see her next week. She's having a great time on holiday, and I've seen pictures of, she's staying in Greece, right? And Greece is still quite a racist country. I love Greece, but it's quite racist. And, she sent me pictures. There's a guy, like a children's entertainer, I think, running around, like, the swimming pool, with his face yellowed up, slitty eyes drawn on, and like one of those, you know, the Chinese sort of hats.
No.
Yeah, and a guy doing, doing that kind of thing. And she sent me video of it. It's the most incredible thing ever. But she's having a good time because she's a massive racist. So it's why she picked the resort. Anyway, Sandy, what can we do for you this evening?
Well, I can't remember if it's the first song I remember.
Okay.
But I had these cassette tapes that were amazing. There were seven of them, one for each day of the week, and they were named after the rainbow.
Oh.
And they had this song on there about opening your eyes and staying awake and listening to, like, Mindy's tape. And they had stories and songs, and I loved them. And I'm 44 now, and I've been on this perpetual life journey trying to track down anybody that hasn't.
what were they called?
I don't know. I used to read a lot. It was before I was reading. My mum used to read to me, and then she got me these tapes, and then I wouldn't let her read to me anymore.
Oh, flipping heck.
And they were amazing. And they had things like, do you remember My Grandfather's Clock? That song, and the one about the keeper that went a-shooting.
I do remember The Grandfather's Clock.
All sorts of fabulous songs like that. They were amazing.
They were named after colours.
I think they were like rainbow cassettes.
Yeah.
But there was days of the week. So.
But you don't...
I've Googled. But, you know, you've got to be careful, haven't you? You know, you get all sorts of stuff from
I'm trying to... I'm sort of typing in the... I think you're pretty safe with rainbows and days of the week. Although, who knows, at the moment, Sandy, you could find some terrible... terrible thing about glass coffee tables. You just don't know. I'm trying to Google with what you're saying, but I can't find anything.
Yeah, like children's rainbow days of the week tapes.
I'm going to write children's rainbow days of the week cassettes. Let's put that in because cassette sounds. No, I can't see anything. Here you go. This is why you're Sandy. I mocked you, saying, well, you won't get anything bad typing that in. Well, I'm on YouTube. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 11th thing is called Extreme Duct Tape Challenge, and it's a woman, a very busty woman in a very tight catsuit, being duct taped to a chair in some kind of sexy game. So,
oh God, has she got red hair?
No, she hasn't got red hair.
Oh God, it's not me then.
No, she hasn't got red hair. So, and it's had over 10 million views. So there you go. You're absolutely right. You can't you can't type anything in these days without there being some form of sexual connotation to it.
I had an experience with an ex-boyfriend who's without sounding like a nerd, we used to do Roman reenactment, and they were looking to see if they could get edible dormice for a banquet. I know. And they were online on my account looking. This was a few years ago, maybe 12 or 14 years ago. And his mate said, why don't you put in exotic meat? And I said, no!
Oh, no, no.
I can just imagine.
It really is. The internet is a cesspit of things. Well, if anybody knows
we're
what
back
it...
Back to poo again, aren't we?
Back to poo again. If anybody... Okay, Pablo, thank you. Yes, you found us my grandfather's clock. That's not what we're looking for. Listen, man! If anyone knows these Rainbow Days of the Week cassettes, and if they're online, then let's find them. Hang on a minute. Let me just have a little look on eBay,
that
even though
amazing.
I'm banned from eBay.
Do you know the other thing from my childhood I remember?
Yeah.
There was a film called The Mouse and Its Child.
The what? Sorry, a gun went off in the background as you were talking.
Oh, sorry, it's my other half getting grumpy because I'm up.
Was that him tapping on the window or something?
Yes, he's banging on the door.
What miserable git!
Trying to get the dog in.
Hang on, it wasn't Rainbow Fairies, was it?
No.
No, okay.
No, there weren't any fairies.
Okay.
The movie was The Mouse and His Child, and it was based on a book by a British guy called Russell Holborn.
Yeah.
And it had Peter Ustinov.
Okay.
As one of the voices. It was a cartoon.
Yeah.
And it was about a little clockwork mouse. And it was a father with a little clockwork child, and it used to spin.
Oh, yeah.
It went on a journey. It traumatised me for life, this film. And it was one of these that you watched it, and it was all the way through. It was really traumatic. But at the end, it was quite happy, and it was worth it at the end. And they were on this path looking for family and territory and, like, the path to self-fulfilling.
Yes.
And it was really deep. It was horrific, absolutely horrific. And then I got home one day. I must have been in my 30s then. And my dad went, hey, look what I found on the internet. And he said, press play on the tape recorder. And I pressed play, and it was this bloody film. The music started, and I just burst into tears.
Oh, God, it was that traumatic.
Oh, my God.
I bet your dad was gutted. I bet he thought he was going to make your day.
Yeah, well, no, because afterwards I was like, oh, God, I can't believe you found it. That's amazing. And yeah, it's lovely. No, it really is in fact, the Royal Shakespeare Company did a show of it a couple of years ago.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to make... Hang on a minute. Let me just put Pablo straight through. Put Pablo straight through, because Pablo's called up. Hang on a minute.
Uh-oh.
Pabs!
How do.
What you got?
Not much. I was going to talk about something else.
I thought you'd found out Sandy's tapes!
No, I found Johnny Cash doing a cover version of it, but other than that...
It's not the song! It's not the song! It's... What? Oh, God. It's not the song. We could find my grandfather's clock anywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's beyond me. Would it be possible to maybe request being put back on hold until a later time?
It will be possible to be put back on hold. We'll call you back, Pablo. Thank you very much for having a look. It is appreciated. And Sandy, thank you for your call. We've got Julie next, then we got Pablo.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Oh, hey, the Larson effect. 03444991000 is the telephone number. Let's go to Julie. Good evening, Julie.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Julie. What can we do? Terrible point to start a phone conversation. What can we do, Julie?
What can we do?
What can we do?
I'm going to tell you my time of being dumped.
Oh, go on then. You're sounding very muffled. What are you in? Have you fallen down a well or something?
No, but it's a rubbish phone.
Why is that? What, one day they're going to make a mobile phone that can actually make a decent phone call. Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't it just?
Magic. Anyway, go on, Julie. We can hear you well enough. Go on.
Okay, so I was 13 and it was a boy asked me out, and then I had my first kiss with him.
Yeah.
And then he asked to meet me at McDonald's the following day, which I did. And then he said he didn't want to go out with me anymore because my boobs weren't big enough.
Whoa! He was a tip man at 13.
At 13. And I was probably, maybe a B cup at that stage. And that was 36 years ago. And ever since then, I've been dreaming of cooking into him so I can go... Cut now, baby.
Have a look at these bad boys, huh? Look at what you could have won.
So
wow. Here's the thing. That's terrifying. That's if that's 30 odd years ago, When it could be argued that teenagers and very young teenagers were less influenced by porn than they are now.
Yeah.
I do worry about my boys and what they're going to be like, and girls. These are dark days we're living in, Julie.
They are. They really are dark days. I've got an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, and it's a nightmare.
Go on. I was going to share something, and then I've decided, look at me being all grown up, I'm not going to share it.
No. I'm going to share with you the first song that I can remember.
Yeah, go on.
Which coincidentally used to terrify me, and it was, I don't know why my parents sort of playing it to me over and over, it was Sparky's Magic Piano.
Oh man, that song was nuts. Did you have it on All Aboard?
Yeah, I think it was on All Aboard, actually.
All Aboard was an insane record that everybody around our age, and by that, Julie, I mean old, we had an amazing cover, and there were some great songs on there. There's a little bit of Rolf Harris. Don't talk about that these days.
Runaway Train, maybe something like that.
Yeah, but Sparky's Magic Piano was on there, and I have no idea. Was it like from a cartoon or something? I think there was a movie of it.
I don't know, but it was kind of like... was kind of an old thing, I think, I don't know, 40s, 50s, 50s.
Sparky. Whoa, yeah, my piano can speak.
Terrify me.
That was, you know I have to play it. Hang on, Sparky's Magic Piano, 1950s. Oh, it's a cartoon. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I don't think I can listen to it.
Well, I think we need to confront this.
Oh, God.
There's loads of different versions.
Yeah, there's the Sparky's Magic Piano, and then there was another follow-up.
Hang on a minute. What is this?
But, you know, it's a possessed piano, isn't it?
Bernard
lies and says it's him playing.
Here we go. This is apparently it. I don't know.
Sparky was a little boy just about your age, maybe a little older by now. He had been taking piano lessons for almost a whole year and was already...
Yes, ma'am.
Ooh, was that all right, Miss Spear?
Well, not too bad for the first week. But you need more
let's
practice.
Let's get to the piano talking.
And to be able to play like that. That sure is good.
Here it comes. Now it comes. This is like The End of a Day in the Life by the Beatles.
Sparky.
Oh, there it is, Julie!
Who's that? Who's calling me?
It is I, your piano.
My piano? But you're talking.
Yes, I can talk.
Goodbye. Thank you very much. No. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole.
Exactly. Might go goosebumply.
Yeah, goosebumply, you say. Hmm. Thank you, Julie. Good evening, Jesse.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Jesse.
Tonight, I want to talk about something that you can probably relate to as well.
Okay.
How therapeutic cats are.
Oh!
When you've been through hell.
They're the best, man. Forget your dogs. Yeah. Cats are the best.
They are, aren't they?
Yep.
And my young cat is 9 months, is the funniest. His best friend's a dog upstairs.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
And they kiss each other and everything. It's really cute.
Dirty. Here's the thing, the whole thing about cats and dogs hating each other is a myth. That's like from Tom and Jerry or something. It's a myth. They get on really, really well.
Well, it's just them two that do. We just click.
Yeah. So how has your cat, who's still a baby, how has your cat helped you?
Well, I've called him, he's called Angel.
Okay.
After my wee girl.
Yes.
Memory, and when they come and give you unconditional love,
yeah.
I know they're monkeys as well, but it's really sweet, isn't it? And
yeah,
the cuddles and the hugs, he's looking at me like, aren't I sweet?
They're the best. Cats are the best, man. Forget they dogs. Forget everything else. Cats is where it's at, man. They are the best company, and they're also quite dismissive. And I know that when I get home tonight, then hopefully all three will be in. Sometimes Lucky stays out late. All weekend, she just kept killing mice. Just kept killing mice. And I was with the boys, I was going, she's got another one. And my youngest considers himself a little bit of an animal crusader. So he would go out and chase the cat to get it to drop the mice. And then he came running in screaming, going, oh, my God, the mice is still alive. It's still alive. I said, yeah, you've saved it, man.
Oh, my young cat doesn't go out because my last cat got nicked.
Oh.
Extra cute, so he's an indoor.
Well, this is another reason I get black cats, because no one wants to nick black cat. A, because they're the most beautiful cats in the world. B, because no one else wants to nick them. So I just have little black moggies running around.
Oh,
Jessie, it's always nice to be reminded how great cats are. There are some people that will never see it, and those people, as far as I'm concerned, Jessie, are scumbags. Thank you for your call. 0344 499 1000. Pablo.
Hey, Pip, how do
you? Yes, mate, yes. I'm not stopping for a McDonald's on the way home tonight. I am not.
No, I bet. Although that's a fair thing. If you're doing things after midnight, can you get a breakfast?
No, I don't think that. When does the breakfast start? At like 5 or something, doesn't it?
Oh, Dad, no.
After midnight, you just go and get. Last week, I bought 3 burgers and a chips in one setting. Now, luckily. Unluckily, they forgot to give me the third burger, so I only had 2. But still, it shows that I was ready to dive in at the deep end. 3 burgers and a large chips.
You say this, actually, because there were 2 things, actually. One is a gripe and the other is a fortuitous event.
Let's have it. Give it to me, baby.
The gripe is hamburger.
Yeah.
For McDonald's, you know, I could argue maybe cheeseburger, but hamburger would be their default hamburger.
Was it a hamburger or a beef burger? I don't know the difference.
I think they advertise it as hamburger, but either way, their burger is supposed to be their like kind of default sandwich. But whenever I go in there to get a burger and I order a hamburger, I always have to wait ages, and there's people getting quarter pounders, whatever, things with bacon and all sorts of things.
You're doing it wrong. Because back in the day, they used to have it all kind of racked up, ready to go, and you go, I'll have like a burger and fries, and then you'd have it in 30 seconds. But now I think they cook it when you order it. But
I think it's a bit of both, but I think they just work on the averages, and I think I'm in the minority of being a hamburger lover. I think everybody else is going for your cheeseburgers, your quadruple pounders, or whatever.
Well, so you just get a plain burger for 99p.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you not get a barbecue signature?
Well, I did do recently. I got one of those.
I like the way you're saying a cheeseburger as though that's some kind of fancy continental thing. We've had them for about 40 years.
The fromage burger.
Yes.
No, it's what they call it in France. It's alien to me. Although, to bring my fortuitous moment in, I went in there the other day and ordered a meal. I was in a caring capacity, so I was ordering food for me and for somebody else. Yes. I ordered the food for them, got a receipt, ordered my food, and whilst the guy was doing it, he seemed to get very confused, and he's like, oh, what did you want? And I was like, oh, it was that without this. What? And he turned to somebody behind him and said, what do I do? He said, I'll just put it through again. So then whilst I'm waiting for the food, my client's order comes through, I pick that up. My order comes through, I pick that up. And then all of a sudden another order comes through. Oh. I pick that up as well. I basically got my order twice.
Oh.
Because he hadn't cancelled the order he put through. So I ended up with like far too much food.
Wow.
No, I'm happy for it.
You stole, basically. That's a great story. You stole.
Well, no, because technically the way I would see it is it was a staffing error. The food had been created and made, and it would go in the bin otherwise. So if anything, I was actually saving on.
Maybe the staff get the food when that happens.
Well, that's no way to pay your staff.
Well, no, they get money as well, but maybe that's a little Brucey bonus.
Well, as I say, if the member of staff was punished in any way for their own transgressions, then maybe that'll teach them to be a better food server.
Yeah.
But secondly, I will take umbrage with the Ronald McDonald, and I'll I don't know, I'll
Ooh, Pablo, stop the clock. Stop the clock. Haley has found, right, was it Sandy? Get Sandy on the phone. Haley, we think, has found, the rainbow cassettes.
Well, that's it, because I heard the Sparky, the piano thing. I was familiar with that one. I know that one. And I was remembering the Flintstones Meet the Philharmonic Orchestra. I used to have that as a child.
Blimey.
As well. But, yeah, this other one is new to me.
Okay, well, I've never seen it. Go on, we've got 30 seconds. What was the other thing you wanted?
Oh, the other thing is just on the dumping thing. When I was a younger man, about 18, went out for my birthday with an older girl who was my girlfriend at the time. She wore a special coat for the evening, which she was going to get for Christmas, because my birthday is just before Christmas. My friends had all bought me lots of drinks, and I ended up drinking them all, and while popping out for a constitutional, I was able to vomit all over her, top to tail, in a brand new coat. I tried to do that thing where you put your hand over your mouth to stop yourself from being sick without realising that.
Never done it. I've seen people put their hands over their mouths to stop them being sick. Never done it. I'm a head down, arms out the way kind of guy. I know how to deal with a vomit. It's not putting a hand in front of you. Pablo, thank you. Sheila, stay there. Sandy, we're coming to you after the news. Big news. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Dildo.
I think it's something that doesn't necessarily have the vibrating aspect.
Where does that word come from? That's such a strange word, isn't it? Dildo.
Yeah.
Dildo. Why? I don't know. It's just a strange old word.
It's like the oldest fashioned one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's have a look. I'll find out
Let's get the history.
Etymology. The word is long considered unclear, but the third edition of the Oxford English Dictionary concluded in 2018, oh dear, that the word originates in nonsense syllables common in early modern popular ballads, not dissimilar to the still familiar nursery rhyme phrase, hey diddle diddle, which came to be used as
diddle. So diddle have a diddle, dildo.
Yeah. Came to be used as a coy euphemism for dildos. The phrase dildool, referring to a man's penis, appears in the 17th century folk ballad The Maid's Complaint for Want of a Dildool. The song was among the many in the library of Samuel Pepys, the dirty pervert. Other theories have previously circulated include that the word originally referred to the phallus-shaped peg used to lock an oar in position on a dory, a small boat. Yeah. It would be inserted into a hole on the side of the boat and is very similar in shape to the modern toy. The toy might also take its name from this sailing tool, which lends its name to the town of Dildo. There's a town of Dildo and the nearby Dildo Island in Newfoundland,
Dildo
Canada.
Dildo Island. That sounds like a level on Super Mario World.
Others suggest the word is a corruption of the Italian diletto or delight.
Delighta, you with my plastic penis, which I put into the lady.
According to the OED, one of the word's first appearances in English was in Thomas Nash's The Choice of Valentines, or the Merry Ballad of Nash's Dildo.
The what? The Merry Ballad of Nash's Dildo?
In the sentence, curse you, Nick, a dildo, senseless counterfeit, I who sooth male fill but can never beget.
Okay.
Well, there we go.
Before we carry on the story, let's introduce Cara into the conversation.
Good
evening.
Cara.
Good evening, Cara. I'm so sorry. I just had to take a break from all that dildoing.
You know what it's like. I just heard dildo followed by Cap's laugh.
Her birthday's coming up. I'm just asking what she wants.
Excellent. Oh my goodness. How you doing? You all right?
Fine. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Good. I thought you might like another lady.
Yeah, it's just lady heavy tonight.
It's ladies' night.
Which is great, which is good. It's such a dick fest, this show, and it's nice. Good. All right, what can we do for you, Cara?
Well, I said I'd call you back. I spoke to you a little while ago about they found those lesions on my brain.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, well, you know the night you were off with a poorly tummy, which, by the way, I think's IBS, but, yeah.
Okay, well, I think it's two things.
All right, doctor.
I still think it's... you've spent a lot of time in hospital and under an MRI scanner doesn't mean that you're a doctor. You're not qualified.
No, but your symptoms are a lot like mine, and I feel sorry for Cass.
God, you should.
Because of the growls, the guffs.
Anyway, the night you were off, you had stand-in. I'm really sorry, but I don't know who he was. But I'd listened for like half an hour and basically collapsed. At home, just with my daughter.
He was that bad? Wow, great, this is perfect, this is what we want. Sam, you're a naughty boy.
We had to have the ambulance out.
Oh my God.
Can I just say, if anybody else was rushed to hospital because our stand-in was that bad, please do let us know, 03444991000, my ego needs it.
I was just so upset that it wasn't you, you see, I couldn't handle it.
You should be, baby.
Well, basically, cut a long story short, it was a mini-stroke.
Oh, my God.
Cara!
Yeah, so he took me in, and by the time I'd actually sort of got there, my speech was coming back, and I could move a bit better. And they sort of sat down, sat in front of me and said, "We need to know what you've taken, dear." To be ashamed of, but obviously we have to know. And by that time, I'd got my speech back, and I was like, "I understand, but I've taken nothing." And he pulled
out. You would say that, you junkie.
He pulled out his pocket, this little brownie in a bag, right? And I just started laughing. And this is the time I thought, I need my daughter to back me up on this story. What it was, I mean, you guys know you've got kids. Well, they always leave one item in a packet, don't they?
Yeah.
Right, it's so annoying. This big tub with one tiny brownie. And so I put it in a little bag, popped it on the table, put the plastic tub in the recycling, didn't think anything of it. Well, they'd assumed that because my heart rate, blood pressure, and apparently my pupils were huge.
Your pubics? Pupils, so
pubics.
Sorry. Is this echo on the line the result of the stroke? Is that just your voice gone a bit funny now?
It's probably gone a bit funny now, yeah.
There we go, okay. That was good.
That was really good.
She made herself go all heliumy. I like that.
There's a talent.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. But
hang on a minute. I'm just going to move you to another line because it's sometimes this fixes it and sometimes it doesn't. How's that? That's a bit better.
Is it still?
Oh, it works much better. There we go. That's £25 million studio, guys.
The best of it was, I won't bore you with it, but the best of it was they then came to me and said, "Well, we've looked through your records. We're going to start you on your steroids for your multiple sclerosis." I said, "I haven't got multiple sclerosis." They went, "Well, according to your records you have."
Oh, mate, that's how you found out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Still not 100%, because they were then running around like headless chickens, because I just sat there and went, "Well, nice of you to let me know."
So hang on, according to the records, what point did your doctor know that you have MS?
Back in March when I went to see the neurologist.
No, mate.
So it's not even that they'd seen the results of your tests before you had. They knew.
Well, they suspected. Am I right that it used to be 20 years ago, the only way you could definitively know if it was MS was to do a lumbar puncture?
It still is, Ian, and right. This is what I'm still waiting for. So I've said, how can you have it on record? How can you tell me? I mean, luckily, I'm pretty sort of stable-minded, believe it or not.
That's no way to find out there's a strong chance you've got something like that, though, is it?
I mean, how many people go away and say, I cannot have a future like that. That's it. I want to end it. I mean, they're taking a big gamble there, so
yeah.
Now I'm just waiting, but you guys are helping, keeping me sane.
Listen, I'm going to let you go in a second, Cara, because this line is terrible. I don't quite know what's going on. I'm just going to shift you over here again, but I don't want you to... this is incredibly fascinating. It'll be fine for a second, then it'll go again. So you had a stroke, a mini stroke. Oh, no, I've got the wrong fader up. There it is. You had a mini stroke.
Yeah, and apparently that's quite common with MS as well.
But how are you? How are you today?
Okay. I'm okay.
How are you physically? Not necessarily emotionally, with all this other stuff that's going on, but physically, have you recovered from this mini stroke?
Well, no, not. I mean, I'm still very weak on my left side. My eyes very blurry and twitching all the time. I fall over a lot. But hey. Still laughing, and you guys help, so thanks
for
that.
It could be, because there are different types of MS. I'm not telling you what, yes. So I don't know. Some MS's, it's progressive, and some you just have, like, a massive attack.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mate.
But we'll see. So I'm not going anywhere yet, so.
No. Have you got a lumbar puncture booked in?
Well, that's the other thing. I'm waiting. It was September, but because of all this, they're desperately trying to bring it forward now.
The lumbar puncture itself is fine. I had one.
Yeah,
I had
one before.
You've had one, you know.
Yeah,
because
I had meningitis.
It's a bit crappy for a few days after.
Yes, you got to sort of lay still for
you can't move. Hours. They told me I'd be able to go to work the next day. Every time I moved, the world, it's like being really, really drunk. The world starts spinning, you want to throw up, and you lie down, and it takes half an hour for everything to go flat again. It's incredible.
Great. That's fun. Especially with my two little kittens hairing around. That's awesome.
They are going to make your life a nightmare.
Great. Anyway,
best of luck. Let us know how
it goes.
I'll
let you go. Yeah, take care. Love you both.
Thank you, Cara. How can they have it on your record from March? MS. I mean, my mum never had a lumbar puncture, and she was diagnosed with it. You know, thirty years ago, they were fairly good at, you know, there are a lot of clues that you can put together. How can they have that on your record since March and not say, look, it's not definitive yet, but this is what it's looking like.
Mm.
We need to get you in for a lumbar puncture and we need to sort this out.
Well, here's my suspicion. They were hanging on for the lumbar puncture because it's such a bombshell that they wanted to make sure it was absolutely there before they even sowed that seed. Because, you know, as Cara says, some people take it as a sentence. Here's what I think. In the heat of the moment, while they were trying to work out what she'd taken or what had happened, they saw that and didn't read the detail of it and just jumped in.
I mean, it's their fault for being a junkie. Eating those hash browns. Good luck, Cara. We will be here. We will fight. We will fight for you till the death of us. 03444991000. Nathan, stay there. We'll finish Kath's dildo story. We'll have to do my sex story tomorrow. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Lavinia.
Good evening, my lovelies.
Good evening, Lavinia.
Lavinia. Anyway, Ian, what I'd like to say to you is that
I say yes, let's do it. Turn over.
Actually sound actually just like me.
Yes.
Absolutely
filthy.
Crazy.
Filthy. Filthy.
Ian, are you still there?
Oh, baby!
Catherine, what I'd like to say to you and Ian, that you must be attracting hundreds of LBC listeners.
Hang on a minute.
I love it.
Yeah, I tell you what you love. You love this.
What's that? I love it, yeah.
Ever been tied up?
You definitely.
Tell us what happened.
Well, because of it, I was trying to tell you the other night that I was slapping my face just to look youthful, and people were thinking that I was getting men in my house.
You were dicking men in your house.
Getting. Flipping heck, Ian.
I thought she said dicking. She's doing her own.
Are you there, Ian?
Yes, I am. Who's this? Lavinia's father?
What I'm actually trying to say, my lovely, is that
you were dicking men in your house.
Oh, my God.
Yes. When I say men, friends, but vulnerable friends.
Yes.
Men that are who I have empathy for.
Yes.
People who are very narrow-minded, tunnel vision, who are not
one
like
vision,
or not like myself.
No, you're very open. You're very broad-minded. You swing both ways, as they say.
It's just like me, Ian. I'll tell you something now. I believe
the
in my
children
heart,
are the future.
That you have had a breakdown, and that's the best thing that's ever happened. Am I right?
Yes, you are right, sister.
Brother, I love you.
I love you, Lavinia. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. The vibe is very, Stop there, Beatles, for crying out loud. So there's a new legend in town. Good evening, the late night alternative, Ian Lee. You are
Catherine Boyle.
0344 499 1000. Seb, stay there. We're going to come to you in a second. Now, some controversy has arisen in the last 15 minutes that I'm surprised at. I'm going to play you a clip that was on BBC News, BBC Local News, the TV news, right, tonight, earlier today. It's filmed in Uxbridge. So BBC London TV News, right? And it's a guy doing a piece to camera. I have no idea what he's talking about, but he stood in an Uxbridge street doing a really boring piece. And as he's doing it, a young lad comes up behind him and fun ensues. Let's have a little listen. This is the whole thing. Let's have a little listen to this. Here we go.
What happens now is a series of hustings, events, debates up and down the country.
Oh, hang on a minute.
This is about the leadership.
This is about the leadership thing.
There may even be, wait for it, some broadcast interviews before the members vote.
It's boring.
150,000 to 160,000 Conservative members. Now, we expect Boris Johnson to make much of his record in London. Now, that will divide opinion, because not everyone thinks he did a good job. But what we can say is that
it comes to him. Suddenly, a young man has jumped behind him, holding a telephone, looking very excited, stood over his shoulder and looking straight at the camera.
Uxbridge, also something where there may be some concern. He had a 12,000 majority.
12,000!
It's now down to 5,000.
5,000!
Some people think it won't happen again.
It won't happen again!
Thanks very much, Tim.
That is genius!
Right, he starts over his shoulder.
Genius.
And then the 5,000 is given from in front of him so that the guy giving the piece to camera has to move to one side to get his face still on the camera. And they get, then the guy gets, the young lad gets closer to the camera for the last bit.
Let's have it again.
Is that it looks for him in Uxbridge also something where there may be some concern. He had a 12,000 majority.
12,000!
It's now down to 5,000.
5,000!
Some people think it won't happen again.
It won't happen again!
Thanks very much.
You can hear him getting closer.
Genius, right. He's genius. And I have said on Twitter, anyone know who this guy is? I want to get him on the show. Couple people gone, what for? I said, because I think he's a legend, I want to celebrate him. I've had so many people say, why do you want to get that that twit on? Don't give him more publicity, he's an idiot. He's an ignoramus, he's an idiot. I've had a few people say, this Pete says, if I want, do I sound trebly to you? I sound very trebly to me in my ears. It sounds very, it's very sibilant. I don't know if something's changed. Pete says, if I won the lottery, I'd hire that guy to follow me around all day, shouting everything I see. But there have been a lot of people saying, what'd you, don't get that idiot on. He said, here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. He is an, look, this guy here says, I think you misspelt Bellend. No, no, not at all. It's funny. And I'm so confused that anybody, particularly anybody that follows me, would find that not funny, would find that offensive.
Right. It's live television news, which we all know is ripe for the taking with this kind of thing. Doesn't rough anyone up. He doesn't throw anything. He doesn't do anything violent in any way. I think it's funny.
Here we go. Joe Simpkins, I'm in Black Mirror. You are insane. Any obnoxious collection of atoms is a legend. I think you misspelt Bellend. No, this is funny. Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. We are living in such dry... Someone there, twit. Some people are very easily amused. Yeah, I am. I'm amused by a kid. Kid, he's probably, well, I don't know, he's 16 maybe, 17. Having the balls to it's not important.
He didn't swear.
Didn't swear. What that man is doing, right, that reporter, is not important. What we're doing right now is not important. It's not important. It's not important. He wasn't reporting on a murder. He wasn't talking about someone who died. He's talking about a bunch of tosspots who are seeing how far they, how many, trying to work out the mathematical formula for how many Tory MPs you can shove up Boris Johnson's jacksy. That's what's going on right now. That's it, right? It's not important. And this young man saw the opportunity to have a laugh for his mates. He's on the phone, so someone he knows is watching the TV. Someone he knows is watching the TV. Could be his mum, could be his mates, could be anybody. He's doing it for them. That should be celebrated. That should be encouraged. That is, it's hilarious. I want more of this. This is what I was saying the other day about streakers. It's the same thing as streaking. It doesn't harm anybody. Doesn't, it's not offensive. It is, it's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Prank calls, they don't work on this show. You're welcome to try. They don't work on this show because we let anyone on. But if you, there's another, LBC do these phone-ins with Farage and all the, phone up Nigel Farage on his show, string him along for 2 or 3 minutes, then pull the rug out from under his feet.
Whatever happened to the British appetite?
Here we go.
For bursting the bubble of pomposity.
Here we go.
We're supposed to be a nation of gentle jokesters.
This is it.
Who get this stuff, right? No one got shoved, no one got sworn at, no racial slurs were thrown.
No milkshakes were thrown, nothing. It was a young man having a laugh, and it was funny. It was funny, right? He interrupted something that was not important. Yeah, I'm sure that host is peed off. Maybe he's having a laugh now. I bet the cameraman was loving it.
Tell you what, more people have seen his report as a result of what that
exactly.
kid did.
Exactly. We need to, if you know who that guy is, please, please, please beg him to phone up. Beg him to phone me up. I want to, here we go, Liam gets it. It isn't offensive in the slightest. He's a young lad having a laugh. Congrats to him for putting a smile on thousands of people's faces. That clip's been watched, that version of the clip, there are other versions. That clip's been watched 22,000 times.
Tell you who'd have loved that?
Yeah.
Dennis Norden.
There you go! We used to embrace this stuff and celebrate this stuff. More prank calls to radio stations. When they get a politician, when they get Jacob Rees-Mogg on here on Julia's show, I don't know if she takes calls. Phone up. This is the trick. You string them along for about 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and then bam, you get in with a question. Slightly difficult here because we've got a dump button. The BBC does not have a dump button on any of its radio stations. I keep telling you this, dear listener, and you do not listen. You can phone up any BBC radio station, 4, 5 Live, any local station, as long as you get on air. They don't have a dump button. Don't be mean. Don't swear. Don't be racist. Don't do that. That's not
fun.
Don't
get anyone in trouble.
That's not fun. But go on. I once phoned up. I don't know if it was Mike Dickin or Mike Mendoza. I phoned up. This was a bit naughty, actually. He was talking about how ecstasy should, you know, should be made even more illegal or something. And I phoned up and I said, yeah, I agree. I think that ecstasy is terrible. And I run a Christian youth center, and we talk to them a lot about the dangers of ecstasy, that it's a terrible, terrible drug. In fact, one night we actually brought in some ecstasy and we offered it to the young people to try themselves. They're 13, 14 years old, and we offered it to them to try themselves so they could see just how bad ecstasy was. And I think it might have been Mike Dickin. I haven't got that call. And he's not really listening. Dickin would never listen. Sorry, what did you say? I said, yeah, we gave ecstasy to some 13-year-old children to see. It's a bit mean. This is like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's a little bit mean. But there's nothing racist. There's no swear words. And he had every right. He's then got the power to cut me off, as he did, tell everyone what an idiot I am. It's a bit of harmless fun. We need more of this. This is what I voted Brexit for this young man. I want that man. I'd give that kid a job on this show. I would pay him to go out and interrupt news reports. There's going to be a lot more news reports in Uxbridge if Boris Johnson becomes Prime Minister. That's what he's the MP for. He's never seen, there'll be more news reports than there have been seen public appearances of Boris Johnson in Uxbridge. There's going to be a lot more. Uxbridge, do me proud. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a... And also, if you disagree, if you think he is a twit, if he's an embarrassment, let me know why. Because I genuinely don't get it. He's a hero to me. He's a hero. Let's go to Seb.
Oh. I'm still out then, sorry.
Sorry? What? Hello, Seb?
12,000?
Here we go!
5,000?
Yeah!
It won't happen again!
There we go! I want a t-shirt. I want a t-shirt printed up with that on. He's a legend, isn't he?
He's absolutely brilliant. Although I am a bit surprised that people are saying that he's a ding-dong.
I can't believe it.
And I think with your uncast explanation of the clip, I don't think you're doing it justice. He's so happy.
Oh, yes. He's full of joy,
he's
isn't he,
so
Seb?
He's so happy.
Yeah.
And the newsreader Tim Donovan, who's like the political editor of BBC whatever, somebody replied to it saying, oh, he did an accidental partridge because the lad kind of is behind him, jumps in front when he's like, 5,000! and then Tim just steps, pushes him gently to the side,
yeah.
Steps to the side, the camera follows him,
yeah.
and then 5,000 left. Proper partridge, absolutely brilliant. Steve Coogan would be proud.
I bet he was a bit angry. I'm sure he's seeing the funny side this evening. Now it's gone viral.
Oh my God, he handled himself
very well, the presenter.
Perfect. I've seen that happen before when the presenter has got angry and that makes them look terrible.
No, you can't.
You've got to style it out.
You cannot get angry. You've just got to go in. He obviously wrapped up the report a little bit quicker than he wanted. It was just beautiful. And I cannot believe in this once proud nation that we were famous. We were famous for two things, our music and our humour, that people are getting so upset about a young man who's expressing joie de vivre. That guy is alive. He's a legend.
That was the modern version of Hello Mum.
Yeah, Hello Mum. You always used to see that. At college tomorrow or at work tomorrow, he should be paraded around on a sedan chair. Honestly, he's my hero, Seb.
No, he's my hero for this week. It's just absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Right. He is my God as well, Seb. Thank you very much indeed. If anyone's got a problem with it, I'd love to learn why. I was so surprised when people who follow me, people who contribute quite a bit to this, we're just having a pop. And there was, because Danny Baker retweeted it. So there were some people that don't follow me.
Right.
Who started having a pop. No. This is brilliant. I want more of this. And I don't know how we get more. I'm probably not supposed to encourage it, but you know what? I'm encouraging it. Play nice. Don't swear. Don't be racist. Don't be misogynistic or homophobic. Think a little bit.
Yeah, don't get physical.
No. This is better than chucking milkshakes over people. This is brilliant. What fun. We can talk about that. We've got loads of stuff to talk about if you want, dear listener. 03-44-499-1000. We'll have a round of Pass the Chat on a little bit later on. But we've got plenty to talk about. This, dear listener, is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio.
I had a young man come around my house yesterday and need my buttocks. He needed them. It was a masseuse. Masseuse is the thing. I bet you say saxophonist as well, don't you?
No, saxophonist.
I bet you say a flute player.
A flautist.
Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere now. So I had a guy come round to give me a massage. Young lad. He's only got 24. And because my back has been hurting since the dabs. I think it was the car crash. I'm going to stop saying I got bad back because of doing 410 dabs. Because people just go, do that for. So I'm going to say it's the car crash that did it. But my back has been in absolute agony, and he came round, and it's not fixed it. But I feel a whole lot better, thanks to Aidan pummeling me. Here's the thing: he wouldn't stop talking.
Oh, that's not relaxing.
No, it's not. He's such a nice lad. He's in a band.
Although sometimes it can be, maybe he was trying to take the tension out of it.
Yep.
By chatting.
Possibly.
Because having a strange man in your house touching you like that could be a little bit tense.
Unconventional after-hours radio that you won't hear anywhere else.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Neon lit night talk for torch singers, trolley dollies and train wrecks like me.
Dr. Mondo.
Never know just where the conversation will take you.
Well, a human being isn't a dog.
No.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Tomorrow night from 10 on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I've just seen that Darren Izzard's tweeted me about, you know, this kind of joyous nature of just usurping authority in a very gentle, friendly way that happened on the local news, local BBC News in Uxbridge. We mentioned that at the top of the show. And Darren sort of said, oh, did you ever see this one from Transfer Deadline Day in football, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this is where they get like purple vibrators and
do they?
Yeah, and like wave them about in the back of shots, right?
Okay.
But also poke people with them.
No, and never poke a person with a vibrator unless you have consent.
Exactly.
Why would they have vibrators with them?
Just because it's, I don't know, I guess because, well, they're football
saying
fans.
Saying that, I've got two in my bag at the moment, so point taken. Yeah, why not? Why not?
You never know when you're going to need one.
You never know when you might need to whisk some eggs as well, so.
Although that reminds me of last time we got on a plane. But,
Catherine, last time we went on a plane, Catherine had a vibrator.
My bag was buzzing.
With her.
I didn't.
She had a vibrator No.
I've got this facial, like, this face wash thing. It's like a rubber brush that vibrates. So you can foam up your facial cleanser.
Foam up something, yeah.
Right? But it also exfoliates. It's brilliant. I love it. It's one of my favourite things. And I think you'll find I am glowing as a result.
Yes.
But not in that way. Just before we got on the plane, there was an announcement saying all ladies have to put their handbags in their hand luggage if it will fit because they're tight. So, Ian, sort of, you said that it would be necessary for me to stuff my massive handbag into my bag.
The intros to your stories are so long.
Stop it! Yours are really long. This is why I do one-liners, because I have to jump in between the breaths.
Okay, well,
let me have some space, man.
I'll give you some
space. So I stuffed the bag in, and obviously, in the meantime, I'd pressed down this thing. So as I zip up the bag, I can already feel it, and you can hear it.
There's no such thing as a vibrating flannel.
It's not a flannel, it's a face brush.
Face brush.
I'll put a picture up on Twitter if you don't believe me.
Yeah, go on then.
Although it's probably got multiple uses. There's also a massage side. Anyway, so my bag's buzzing. And of course
we were all buzzing. We were excited to get on an aeroplane.
On the tiled floor as well, you could hear it against the floor. The whole bag was like...
Then she sat on it.
I did not sit on it.
For 20 minutes, I had to delay the flight.
But I kept feeling... Right, and the thing is, because it times itself, you know, like some electric toothbrushes will go... when it's to change what part of your mouth
now you do. You're giving too much detail, as if it's not true.
No, it's true. So as I'm pulling along, I'm thinking, right, that's one. That's two.
Yeah.
Please be over by the time we get up to the actual desk.
Two orgasms?
No, two sections of the timer.
Okay.
Right? And then it turns itself off is what I'm thinking. Please turn yourself off because I'm pulling these along and it looks dodgy as.
Yeah.
And as we got up to the desk, it was still going. Thankfully, people were talking quite loud, but it was a hairy moment.
Was it? Okay. I didn't see that. 03-444-999-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We don't approve of waving vibrators or hey diddle diddles on television.
And poking people in the ear with them.
No, not poking them. No,
that's what they were doing.
That's unhygienic. You get a sexually transmitted disease in your ear. Imagine that. You get syphilis of the ear. Outrageous. Yeah, we're on a dirty trip. Let's get in there. Meant to do this last night. Top 10 sex fantasies revealed by sexpert Tracy Cox.
Oh, yeah.
We've had Cox before, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We love
She's
Cox.
She's one of the most famous.
We love Cox on this show. Tracy Cox here for Mail Online. What are you thinking, darling? We need some appropriate,
music.
Let's get some appropriate music. Here we go. Okay, this could be good. There we go, we're in.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow! I've got a mouthful of sausage.
Dick. Aren't your balls normally held back by your
willy? All right. Okay, guys.
Shanty pony.
You're a pervert.
Shag a pony.
You can pack that in as soon as you like.
What are you thinking, darling, we ask? Snuggle, that's, by the way, I've just live mixed the theme to any sex talk we do on the show. it's the best theme to a section ever. And it's going to be spelled S-E-X-D-I-O-N. E-R, E-R, E-C-T-I-O-N. Sex erection. Sorry? Sex erection.
Sorry?
Sex erection.
Don't get it.
Sex erection. What are you thinking? This is written by Tracy Cox. Cox! Ah! What are you thinking, darling, we ask, snuggled up romantically on the sofa, one head on his shoulder. How much I love you, he replies.
Liar!
Yeah, right. Far more likely... Gosh. Sorry. Far more likely, he's imagining a sexual sandwich with him stuck between you and your best friend.
What?
More likely, he's thinking, I wonder what time she's going to bed so I can play PS4. I mean, that's probably... Can I finish that Bob Dylan documentary, or is she going to get
also, annoyed? Also, my best friend is Ian.
Ninety-6% of us fantasize. What are the other 4% doing?
They're asleep.
But men and women's fantasies are very different. Women's fantasies tend to be more involved than men's arses. Men's are, sorry. Which makes sense. We read more.
What?
Are generally more imaginative.
What?
Women read more and are generally more imaginative than men. What a...
I mean, we're subjected to more crap.
Yeah, if you count Catherine Cookson and the instructions on a tampon box, then yeah, you guys read more.
Oh, that's rude.
I think tampons are not rude. It's to do with something as woman's monthly blood cycle.
Oh, my God.
This is taking a very unsavoury turn. I do apologise. Yeah! I'm making love tonight. Women read more, are generally more imaginative and need more varied stimulation to arouse us. Our fantasies almost always have a plot. Oh!
Do that?
03444991000. There's scene setting, character development, and a narrative arc.
I think she's crediting her fellow woman with a little bit too much there.
This is nonsense. Men go for instant action and are more sexually explicit. They fast forward straight to the naughty bits. And the entire fantasy is often simply bits sliding into bits.
Oh.
In graphic detail. Incorrect, Cox. Cox does not know Cox, it would appear. They'll often have one simple image rather than a video. This is like in the mind, it means. And it's often of someone they think they could pull in real life. Even men's idea of the perfect fantasy girl, see the side box. Women have a side box?
What?
Oh, it means in the story, sorry. I'm so sorry. I thought, have I missed something here? Side box. Even men's idea of the perfect fantasy girl isn't dramatically different to what an average woman looks like. This is why amateur porn sites and live webcams with normal-looking girls are so popular with men. They like to think they've got a stab at the sex actually happening. All right, okay. Women, on the other hand, have no problems picturing Bradley Cooper frothing at the mouth.
What?
For the chance to slide a hand up our skirts.
I think anyone frothing at the mouth would be a little bit of a turn off. What's the matter with him? Ah. Disgusting.
Come and lick my frothy mouth.
Oh, God.
Oh, that smells funny. My saliva really stinks. Does your saliva... Can I smell your mouth?
No!
Please let me... Once I had such a... I think I had, like, lung infection or something, because... When I breathed, it smelled so disgusting, and I breathed through my nose on a friend once and made him sniff it, and he got out of the car and walked away. It was awful. Let me smell your breath,
no.
Please.
No.
Please, let Sam smell your breath,
no.
And then let me
I
lick his nose.
I don't want to do this. What?
Would you smell my breath?
No.
Please, someone smell my breath. Let me smell someone's breath.
The bonus is I can't smell it from across the desk. I have worked with people in the past who can smell their breath from across the room.
Okay.
That is bad.
Okay. So you're gonna let me smell your breath?
No.
Or not? Okay. Another significant difference, women are more likely to fantasize a lot when we're having lots of sex. Men do it when they're not. This is by no means an exhaustive list of what the average man conjures up in his saucy daydreams. I'm not kidding either when I say the most popular male fantasy of all is likely to be... revealed after this!
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
That's a woman called BJ. You don't get many women called BJ anymore. BJ was a popular name for women. Obviously, BJ and the Bear, that was a guy. But BJ was a popular name for women. That was BJ Arnaud, taken from the albums that have got the same song on twice. That's the Live and Let Die soundtrack. It's got that, and it's got Live and Let Die on there. So album songs that are on the same albums twice, 0344. 499-1000, that's the first phone-in of the day. Second phone-in of the day, guys. By the way, my name is Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
Welcome. Welcome, one. Welcome, all. The Giggle Factory is open for business. Second call-in of the day is, who are these absolute twonks going around on the electric scooters? You know the scooters that are like the push... First of all, seeing an adult on a child's scooter, like, okay, if you've dropped the kid off at school and you're using it to get home, do you know what? You know what? I can let you get away with that. I can dig that. You're using the kid's scooter, I don't dig that. But if you're using it whilst wearing a suit to get to work, I don't dig that. But the electric scooters, I vacillate between thinking the people using them are twonks and thinking, I want to get one. I want to get one. But I don't know when I would have the courage, Catherine, the courage, the bravery to use one of these electric scooters.
I think you have to have a devil may care attitude if you're going to ride one of those bad boys.
What are the rules? I want the top five laws on using those things now,
don't
please.
Don't do it on the road, please.
Okay, these are Cass laws, by the way.
I've seen them, and the electric skateboards, which, by the way, I think it's cheating.
Yeah.
I've seen them on the road. I've seen them
outside Cass' house. That was rude. Yeah. Could be outside my house. Who cares?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine if you came out, you opened your curtains. What's the weather? That's semen on the street outside my house. And it would have to be a lot to be able to see it from a first floor window.
Puddle.
Wow. Or as Alan Caddick might say.
Wow.
So these are Kath's top five rules on using electric scooters.
Don't wear a helmet.
Don't?
No.
Okay.
Not on one of them. Come on.
Okay.
If you're going to be on one... Be on one.
She's talking about the scooters, guys. She's not talking about drugs.
And if you're going to wear a helmet, then you've got to match it up with the knee pads and the elbow pads.
I don't get how you're allowed to use them on the road. How I can be stopped at traffic lights in that there scary London and bicycles pull up beside me, fine. And then suddenly some guy on an electric scooter pulls up beside me and I'm like, huh? What the hell is that? I don't get it. Is it a pavement vehicle? Is it a road vehicle? What is it? I think they should be on the pavement, although there was a Chinese man the other day getting right on my... When we went to see this Beatles tribute show, me and my sister last night, it's a great show, absolute blessing last night. Tickets were sorted out by the guy that played the harmonica on Karma Chameleon.
Oh, that guy.
That guy, Judd Landers is his name. He's a really nice guy. He used to work with the Beatles and he played harmonica on Karma Chameleon, right? And I'm trying to persuade him to come in. He's a gobshite, but he's a good one. I like him a lot. And anyway, he got me and my sister. I don't know how, but he was promoting this Dutch band called the Analogues, who are a Beatles covers band, right? But they only play complete albums, right? And they don't dress up as the Beatles, but they play the music exactly as it's done on the record. And he got us tickets, me and my sister, to go to see the Analogues perform Abbey Road in its entirety. Yes, there was a pause at the end and then they played Her Majesty and ended on that half chord at Abbey Abbey Road Studios. Now, I have never been into Abbey Road Studios. I nearly went a few years ago when Giles Martin, son of Sir George, started waving his penis in my direction. Then he very quickly zipped his fly up and I was denied access. That's kind of a true story apart from the penis waving. But we went into Abbey Road. Not only that, we there was a huge queue there for 250 people. We went straight to the front of the queue and were guided in. Walking through the gates up to the steps of Abbey Road, I was like, I could feel it. Walking through the front door of Abbey Road, I was almost in tears. And then Judd took us down the corridor and he said, oh, through that door. And security wouldn't let us through. He said, oh, don't worry, they're with me. So we walked through this door and in the corridor are the old mixing desks that Sir George of Martin, Jeff Emmerich and them bloody Beatles would have fingered. And I fiddled with George Martin's knob. It was beautiful. And then he said, come and have a look at this. And we went downstairs. I can't remember the number. Is it Studio 2? We went into, I think it's Studio 2, where the Beatles recorded nearly everything that they recorded. And I've seen so many photos. It's the one with the long stairs going up to the control booth at the top, and it's where they recorded things. There was an old piano there.
Is that where I'll play it if you want me to play it, and if you don't want me to play it,
No, that was Twickenham Studios.
Oh.
But there was an old piano there. It was the oh bloody oh bloody oh, sort of tack piano. Din digga din digga din din. Is that piano was there. And then the studio we were in, I think it was Studio 3. It was a big studio for the concert. And Mark Lewison, who we've had on the show, Beatles expert, gave a little introductory talk. And he pointed out that we were in the room and I was sat 12 feet away from where the Beatles sat when they performed All You Need Is Love to be broadcast live around the world to a billion people. And dear God, I know some of you, dear listener, are untouched by the Beatles. And for that, you have my deepest, deepest sympathies. It really must be a miserable, miserable existence that you lead. But for me, it was like going to Lourdes. It was like, it must be what a Muslim must feel like going to Mecca. It was Mecca for Mecca, this place. It must be, what's the Christian equivalent of Mecca? Lourdes is not quite it. No, that's where the Virgin Mary was supposedly seen.
Bethlehem.
I went to Bethlehem and felt very little apart from hot and disgusted by their horrible coffee that they drank. But for me, it was, I got it. It was, you know, it was a thing that had been touched by greatness 50 years ago. And it had a spiritual, emotional impact on me. And this band, the Analogues, we're going to get them on in the phone at some point. Hopefully in the future we'll get them in the studio. We're definitely going to get them on the phone. My God, Catherine, they were remarkable. Didn't look like the Beatles. Didn't look like them. They got their Dutch. So they got a slight Dutch accent. But that's it. Everything was exactly the same. They bought out an anvil for Maxwell Silverhammer. Maxwell Silverhammer and I Want You, She's So Heavy are songs I'm not particularly taken by. But hearing them live, my God, I Want You, She's So Heavy is incredible. And then for an encore, we went into the Beatles studio and they played half a dozen songs, including The Ballad of John and Yoko, which again is not a song, it's a Beatles song I actively dislike, right? Flipping it though, what a rousing chorus, 200 people going, Christ, you know it ain't easy, I was totally into it. Oh, they were good, they were so good, it was magic, man, you should have been there, I know you couldn't, you were invited and you couldn't make it, mm-hmm. Catherine, next time. It was absolutely, it was magic. Oh, so that was it. So we're at the front, me, my sister, and this guy called Will that we kind of hooked up with, who's a nice guy. And we're right at the front, okay, and the stage is 3 foot away from us. And at the end of Abbey Road, at the end of the end medley, we all stood up and the guys go, we've got a little bit more to do. But we're right in the front in the middle. And this Japanese-y kind of guy came and stood in front of my sister and stepped back into her. He was just so excited. He was so thrilled and obviously a huge fan of the band that he came and stepped back into Joe's personal space quite some way. And I just looked and we were both just wetting ourselves laughing at this guy. But the concert was amazing. I had tears in my eyes at points. Joe had tears. They had a string section. My God. The end medley. Goosebumps for lots of it. I had tingles down the back. I'm going to be honest, guys. There's a lot of my stories involve drugs. And revolve around them. There was a little bit of time travel going on when they're playing the bit, Sundays on the, out of college, money spent, see no future, pay no rent. I travel back in time 24 years to when I'd taken LSD and we were listening to Abbey Road. And I was back there. I'd created a time portal. It was an absolutely magical evening. And you try and look up stuff on the analogs online. There ain't a lot. There's some videos. There's not a lot of information about them. Dutch, you see. I don't think they have the internet in Dutch. What language do they speak in Dutch?
Dutch.
Is it German?
No.
Okay, but it's like German, isn't it? You'd understand German if you were a Dutchman. Yeah, I think so. So I made a very funny joke that I don't think got the respect it deserved. Even by, so who's this? I've noticed in 8 minutes you've told 9 lies and counting, says someone whose phone number ends 8661. Well, you've missed 3 lies then, madam. So they speak German. So we're in the second room waiting for the encore, and they're at the top of the stairs, and Judd is on the stage, and he's going, guys, you're going to come down? Guys, he's from Liverpool. Uh-huh. Guys, you're going to come down. And they said, oh, we've lost one of our band members. Right. So there was an awkward silence, right? Great joke. A great joke. I said, Max Schau, Max Schau, which is what the Beatles used to have shouted at them in Germany, yeah. In the Hamburg. Max means make a show. And so I'm shouting at them in what's pretty much their native language, give or take a little bit. And I was expecting a huge, huge laugh. I got absolutely nothing.
Well.
Absolutely nothing. Very, very disappointing indeed.
Is that true or is that another lie?
We'll wait for 8661 to let us know. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Anything goes on the Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle and Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.